And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, May 14th, 2013, at a special time. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. You're listening to the only show where the news is presented to you in three dimensions, in 3D. We look beyond the headlines and bylines and bring you the news behind the news. The news behind the headlines, the news behind the bylines. We broadcast usually live every weeknight from 2 to 11. Tonight is a special program, of course. Our home base is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. I want to thank our colleagues to the North, CanadaFreePress.com as well for hosting our articles and for supporting the Hagman and Hagman Report as they do. And we also want to let you know that we're broadcasting simulcast on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. That's the Christians United Broadcasting Network. You can tune in to our show at the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. Spell it all out, the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. Thanks for joining us tonight, and thank you for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. I just want to say, Joe, welcome. Program. I know you're busy over there turning dials and pushing buttons, but
glad to be here. It's been a fantastic day, and it is going to be a fantastic show. Very excited to hear what the Gorilla Economist has to say, as well as Steve. I do not see them on the board yet, but we will bring them on as soon as we do see them.
Okay. Tonight's broadcast. I just want to say the broadcast, reaching critical mass, what goes up will also crash. That's the go ahead and take it from there, Joe.
All right. We have Steve on the line. I'm going to bring Steve on. And
Our brother in Christ, our brother in arms, Steve Quayle. How are you, my friend?
Good, Doug. I think we're going to have a pretty amazing and timely show tonight because, again, this is going by the book, obviously. For those who have been paying attention, it's almost like every day is another prophetic fulfillment. Now, is V on yet?
We are waiting for him to come on.
Possible, unless
hang on
he's
a
calling from
here.
A different. It's calling from a different number, possibly, but I don't think he's called from a different number yet. So
now, yeah, I've been getting. Hey, Doug, I've been getting some emails, and I will mute when I'm off the air. But I'm getting people complaining that my phone is over-modulating, so I don't have any way of controlling it because it's just a standard phone. So can you guys tune me down if I over-modulate?
We can't do that.
We can.
Okay. Well, just send me an email and tell me. I can back the phone away from my mouth. Maybe that will make it.
There you go.
Okay.
You're perfect that way.
Okay.
Yeah, we try to do that, and every time we try to adjust your volume, Steve, it kills the other people. So it's a crazy mix up mess. But
right.
But you know, you're fine, man. You're good.
Okay.
But you're right. As soon as it comes on, we'll put them on. But you're right. We're in some interesting times here. I've heard today, Steve. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. And I'm sorry because I don't mean to talk over you, but there's a delay. So you go ahead and tell me when, you know, just give it back to me because I think it's critical tonight. And I've already told V to tell me when he's through, because I want everybody to hear, you know, everything that he has to say. And we're not competing. We're trying to complement each other. But sometimes there's a bit of a delay. So go ahead, Doug.
Well, no, something I heard today, and I'm going to put this out there. I don't know if you've heard any of this, Steve. We haven't talked, of course. Expect perhaps in the next few weeks or few months even, the potential for a bank holiday here in the United States. Have you heard any rumblings about that?
Well, not only rumblings, but good sources. And when I say good sources, let me explain something. There are some international bankers and financiers, and V knows far more than I do, that are absolutely devastated at the prospects of what's going to happen to their children. Let me say that I've said on the radio, the trillionaires are eating the billionaires are eating, meaning devouring their financial assets. It's the piranhas versus the sharks versus the Godzilla. And because Japan produced the Godzilla movies, it's kind of fascinating to see the monster debt. I'm obviously going for the metaphor that Japan has created. There's a story on the net tonight, and that Japan's housing market is more artificial, and that they're going to end up in worse shape than Detroit. The tragedy is as Japan plays the economic inflation game, so many of their people, especially the children, are dying. And when I say dying, they're not physically dead yet, but they're in the process of dying from massive radiation exposure. The Fukushima event was the biggest cover-up of ionizing radiation that has ever taken place in the history. Even though our government never told the truth during the atomic testing, what's happened at Fukushima makes anybody downwind of the Nevada test range envious, because the point being, not envious, grateful, because there is so much radiation. We're hearing about mutant fish. We're hearing about literally sea lions dying, whales beaching, porpoises with ulcers. So many obvious mutagenic processes taking place in the sea life, and yet, you know, the American people aren't asking the important questions. And as soon as it becomes obvious that, and I believe this is a fulfillment of scripture, that a third of the life in the sea is dying, and that is a direct fulfillment of the time of the end. Now, when I say the end times, I want to make this clear, because there's confusion in a lot of people's mind. That's not the end of the world. That's the end of the age. That's the advent of the Antichrist, who takes the place of Jesus Christ, sets himself up in the tribulation temple and declares himself to be God. And Doug, even today I've got multiple emails, people who didn't believe me, saying it looks like God is answering your prayer, because the point is that we're seeing the sins of our leaders multiplied in real time. And can I say something? And I don't mean to use vernacular, but you ain't seen anything yet. Now, I want to make this clear. The end of this is not a political turnaround. I repeat, the end of this is not a political turnaround. It's the complete nuclear devastation of the United States of America. That's when Henry Groover's vision comes into play, A.A. Allen's vision. You can go Google any of these. A.C. Valdez's vision. One of the visions that most people forget, and even I have forgotten about it, but I'll put it up on my website tomorrow, is Daisy Osborne, the wife of T.L. Osborne. And by the way, I had the blessing of sitting under his ministry, probably with no understatement, one of the most amazing, gentle, wonderful, poetic men of God with the power of the Holy Ghost I've ever sat under, and he's gone to be with the Lord. But his wife had an amazing, now look, this is, we're talking 30, 40 years ago, and I think what people have lost track of, and this again has to be reiterated, that there is no history of the nation of Israel listening to its prophets. Jesus said, which of the prophets have your fathers not killed? So the point is that prophecy is always argued over, it's fought over, some believe it, some twist it, and some want to make it, fit their agenda. But, you know, when God says in his word, behold, I am the Lord, and I change not, he's very specific in addressing his character versus the character of fallen men. It's only by his grace and holiness that we can change. Saying all that, today one of the biggest stories that is really important to me is, Doug, I think when you and I met, I think the thing that was interesting is I was working on my book, Lucifer's Luggage, Suitcase Nukes in America. And one of the stories now is Spetsnaz, which is in this country with clandestine nuclear weapons, is ready to go when the signal's given. If most people don't understand that the stand-down orders for all of our aircraft carriers having been in port, all of our fighter jets, especially in Europe, standing down because suppose we don't have the money to fuel them. Meanwhile, DHS is just breaking ground on a $3.4 billion building. We know the NSA just built its, you know, probably $50 billion when you figure the computing power, maybe $100 billion. So this is the destruction of the U.S. military. And I would pray that by the grace of God, that the blinders would come off the military leaders' eyes. Because what has happened is we are sitting ducks. And what happens to sitting ducks? They become dead ducks. And we're going to hear a lot more revelations in the coming days, because now, even now, the vomit brokers, which is a mainstream press, which are nothing more than whores, they're going to basically have to change their tune because they're losing so many listeners and viewers. But, Doug, one of the things that's interesting is the Russian Spetsnaz. Now, you and I were involved years ago, and I called you late at night, if you remember, in the where there were 29 nukes in the United States of America that were diffused, okay? They were found, yep. Some were detonated at sea, some of them were taken in high-speed trains, and literally underground maglev trains, taken to really remote parts of this country and detonated. But they did find them, and they did detonate or diffuse them. Do you remember when I called you that night?
Oh, vividly. And Steve, the weird thing about this is, we spoke about this before, but the weird thing was, not only did you call me, another person totally unrelated to you or I, called, or unrelated to you, called me and said the exact same thing. And this was at 3:30 or 4:00 in the morning Eastern time. So, you talk about verification, and people might find this extremely hard to believe, but we're talking about a pretty credible people. I mean, very credible people calling us and saying, "Hey, look, this is going on right now." So yes,
and again, you know, the thing is that when and I don't mind saying this now, I don't have to give any names, but when you're woken up in the middle of the night and a Special Operations Command General from the Mighty Men of Valor says, pray, because if you don't, 29 cities. Now, I'm not the one that diffused, and I did pray. And these are the Men of Valor, these are the Women of Valor, and they diffused it. And what really makes me mad is that, and look, I'm sorry, but I have righteous indignation, then I obviously have a carnal indignation. But in righteous indignation, the truth is so kept from the American public. And unfortunately, when I wrote Lucifer's Luggage, Suitcase Nukes in America, I never released it. One of the reasons why I didn't release it, Doug, now, is my volume okay right now?
Perfect, my friend.
Okay.
Volume is
one of the reasons why
is on.
Okay.
Yeah,
one of the reasons
on.
I did not release that book is because I was waiting for certain documents that were promised to me. Because of infighting at a command level in special operations, I never got it. I told everybody the story, and, you know, people call me a liar. I know the name of the lawyer that did this. I know his office, and he even wrote me a letter one time. I believe it's on my old website. I don't have it, so if anybody downloaded it, but, you know, his initials were GS. I had hired him as a consultant. He was connected during the Cold War and obviously worked for the agency. He spoke Russian, but he wasn't up to speed on his Russian. I asked him, I said, I will pay a formidable amount to get the suitcase nuke document. And for the record, I was within, I'd say, a week to 10 days of getting Alexander Lebed, who is Boris Yeltsin's national security advisor, and then he became the governor of Siberia. He was murdered. I was on coast to coast the night he was murdered. Everybody said, you know, it was natural causes. Well, his helicopter was shot down, and his brother came forward a week later and said that, you know, he had been shot down in a helicopter by a missile. So when I made the statement that obviously suitcase nukes in America, I asked this former CIA agent, and by the way, after the Cold War, these guys who were with the agency, a lot of them became private contractors, a lot of them became consultants, and it was kind of the joke in those days, you know, because if you were a consultant, that meant you were working for one of three people during the Cold War. And so the thing is I asked him to go out and acquire for me, and this is a true story, I asked them to go out and acquire for me a manual for the suitcase nukes. I actually called the FBI and told them, counterintelligence, I think his name was Courtney somebody, and I asked him, you know, I said, I want to tell you something. Here's my name. I'm a newsletter writer. I am actively pursuing evidence. I said the Weldon Committee had basically brought in Lebed. He had talked about the suitcase nukes as American, also the suitcase nukes that were here. Now, most people think of suitcase nukes as a Cold War relic. Well, some of those existed, according to the friends of mine, Doug, and you remember this, the ones that were designed to go off in 29 cities were basically hybrid. That means the nuclear triggers came from someplace, and you'd be surprised at, quote, America's, allies, who supplied the nuclear material, who supplied the polonium, who supplied the, cryotrons, everybody supplied everything. So these were hybridized weapons. Well, the gist of it is when Gary, I'll just call him Gary, that's his real name, put the word out to some of his former Russian intel pals, a word for manual got left off. Well, you know where that happened, and I think I've told you this story. So Gary was, his office, which is, I think, on Park Avenue, was totally ransacked and destroyed. Well, everybody was in an uproar because, you know, somebody in Montana, which it was me, wanted a manual for the suitcase nukes because I got tired of every time I would talk about it on talk radio, someone would come out and deny it. Is someone meeting with the CIA, and I forget the name of the guy, and, you know, your mutual friend can probably remember,
right,
his name, but it was either Calasaro or Casolaro or somebody like that. So, saying all that, we are seeing the complete revelation by God of fulfilling his word that I've given for 15, I guess, maybe even 20 years, that before America is destroyed, God is going to reveal the sins of its leaders to the people, the sins, and the sins of the people before a holy God. And I basically would say to everyone, if you don't think that's happening, then you are blind. If you can't hear what's happening, then you are deaf. And if you willingly choose not to see or hear, then you are dumb unto death. And so with that, you know, this nuclear threat, it's real. I can tell you this. I knew where they used to be. And how can anybody who lives in Montana writing a newsletter and then going on talk radio know this stuff? Simple. I couldn't unless someone told me. And in those days, Doug, the multiple confirmations, and I knew that was hard for you to believe, but obviously you knew it was true, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, the average person becomes incredulous, and that's the problem with truth. It's not that God doesn't give the truth, it's just that people choose to believe a lie. And now, with V's calls, and V has been so prescient and so on time, I told V, I said, take your liberty. When you're done, I won't interrupt. Then I will basically, step in if you want, or Doug, you step in. And, let's just give it over to V, because it's critical that the information that he has forewarned, and the title for tonight's, show, pretty much says it all. So I'll back into the background when you want me to speak. Address me, and I will. But it's really important.
Okay.
We all hear what V has to say.
And with that, I just want to say to the new listeners, V is the initial of our inside economist source, known as Gorilla Economist. He's somebody who's earned the stars on his shoulder and the scars from battle, folks. He served as a top analyst in commercial anchor from one of the United Kingdom's biggest financial houses. He's worked as a commodity broker for one of your largest commodity brokerages. He's got the credentials, the bona fides. You can read them off of stevequayle.com or homelandsecurityus.com. But without any further ado, welcome to the Gorilla Economist. It's good to have you back, sir.
Yeah, it's great to be back, guys. It's a pleasure, once again, just to be out here and just sharing what's going on globally, economically, to let everybody know. I am right now sounding the alarm. I am right now totally fired up because we have crossed, and I talked to Steve about it maybe about a week or two ago, and I said, Steve, we crossed the Rubicon here, because months ago, I told Steve candidly, I said, Steve, you're going to see the market go to 15,000, 16,000 points. And this one, the market was around 12,000, 13,000 points, and just skirmishing along there. And everybody was expecting a massive gold and silver rally, and I told Steve Candle, I said, Steve, there ain't going to be no rally for a while. You're going to see a beatdown in precious metals, and that's exactly what has occurred. And I called the numbers, $1,200 to $1,400 an ounce on gold, you know, low 20s for silver, and that's exactly where we are today. And I said, while they do this, while they're going to, you know, dump the paper market in terms of the contracts for the gold and silver, they're going to pump like you would not believe the stock market. And here we are. Dow's over at 15,000, almost 15,200 points. And I think a few days ago, Steve gave me a call, and he said, do you see this thing going higher? And I said, Steve, you know what? The things are exactly where they should be globally and economically speaking. That if they want to bring it up, they can. But if they want to pop it right now, if they want to bring the whole house of cards down right now, this very instant, they can do that as well. Because we're at the juncture where they don't even have to bring it up higher. They can end it right here. And that's what I want to say, is that we have crossed the Rubicon. We have crossed the very Rubicon. I mean, you know, there were news reports on the internet and CNBC and Fox Business and Bloomberg and Wall Street Journal. It was a big hoorah about the G7, all right? The G7 meeting in London. Seven of the most dastardly nations in the world, seven of the architects of derivative destruction, seven of the crony capitalists meeting in London, discussing and giving the blessings not only to, you know, the central banks to continue to print to oblivion, and everybody in the mainstream media thought, hey, this is a great idea. The G7ers getting together, they're meeting, they're going to discuss on how they're going to try to stimulate the economy and bring it back in, and we'll all be singing Happy Times Are Here again. But the thing that screamed in every insider's ear, and the thing that beat in my heart, was that the fact that these guys basically telegraphed to the world that they have no clue. They have no way of fixing this whole thing, okay? So here we are. The Dow has gone over 15,000 points, and this was achieved in three different ways. Number one, the Fed, the unending Fed stimulation, in conjunction with a group of guys that we all forgot about, and that's the Plunge Protection Team. The second thing is the absolute flight that you see from the Eurozone, and guess what? From Japan and every other Asian country that has been leveraged in Japanese government bonds, we've seen a bond halt again, the second time again, you know, this week, where the Japanese government bonds have halted because the system cannot handle the volatility that is going on right now. So they had to stop it, they had to freeze it. So this is occurring. Prices are skyrocketing in Japan. The G7's meeting in London, talking about how they're going to, everything's hunky-dory and everything's going to be fixed. Then you have the fools in Wall Street, Main Street, and the city of London cheering it on like it's the greatest thing ever. Folks, we are on the precipice. Not only are we on the precipice, we are teetering over the precipice. Okay? We're going to go over. So the third thing is what we're seeing with this whole entire the Fed and the stock market being up is the fear, is the flight from the Eurozone and Japanese, what I call the sucker investors. Now, we all know about the Eurozone, but the Japanese devastated. Okay, just to reiterate, the Japanese have been devastated by the lost decade. Now you have the tsunami disaster that really put the coup de grace on the Japanese economy, brought them to where they are today because the Japanese insurance companies were so overburdened with euro bonds, and they're now and are dumping them for the dollar. That's why the U.S. stock market is up. That's why the Dow is over 15,000 points. Okay. Now the third thing is the suppression of the precious metals market. Okay. This was done again to give people the illusion to make the dollar look like it's some sort of a safe haven, safe harbor. And again, it's to shake off the weak hands, get those who are afraid to give up their precious metal, because when they see a whole bunch of contracts, the whole bunch of paper dumped on the market, you're seeing the people who don't know any better dumping their physical assets directly, the physical holdings of precious metal directly to the market. And in reality, it's all it's done is a transfer of wealth. All right? So the whole thing is, folks, the three major things that are driving this DAO, okay, which are, I mean, look at the three things that are in the stock market. The Dow Jones, okay, the S&P 500, and the U.S. bonds, okay, the government bonds, the T-bills. All of these things are rising simply because of the fact that the Fed is printing, all right? One of the things that's you know, flying around the Internet as well as the different blogospheres is, will the Fed taper down the stimulation? Will they taper down the constant pumping of the market? Will they look or seek for a graceful exit from its intervention within the equities market? The answer is no. Why? The Fed cannot exit this thing gracefully. Number one, because of the fact they just simply can't do it. You know, January 11th, I gave the analogy. Picture, if you will, a circus tent, and all of a sudden the tent breaks during the middle of the show and the performance. And they bring this huge, giant fan to blow hot air. Okay? And as long as that fan is blowing the air, the tent stays afloat. But as soon as that fan is switched off, the whole thing collapses. That's where we are today. Okay? So the Fed cannot exit. They cannot taper down its stimulation, number one, because the whole thing will come down. Number two, it's not in the Fed's best interest to stop stimulating. It's not in the Fed's interest to see a U.S. economic recovery. It's not in the Fed's best interest to see a strong American economy. It's not in the Fed's best interest to see a strong U.S. dollar. It is in the Fed's interest because they are central bankers, because they are Keynesians, because they have been given the blessings from the G7 this past week in London, to the Bank of Japan, to the Federal Reserve, to the Bank of England, to the European Central Bank, to go ahead and stimulate to oblivion, because these guys are criminals, and there is no honor among thieves, okay? So anybody who is saying that there are honorable people within the Federal Reserve that are going to somehow bring us into some sort of a soft landing obviously did not learn the lesson of the 1929 stock market crash or the 1933 stock market crash. Those two crashes have one major theme in common. That major theme is monetary contraction. In other words, the Fed printed so much cheap money into the marketplace and then they contracted it. Okay, in other words, they stopped stimulating, and the whole house of cards went to oblivion. Folks, today we're in a much more dangerous situation than 1929 or 1933. I'll tell you why. Because number one, okay, just like there's one commonality we have, and that's both Glass-Steagall's gone. And we didn't have Glass-Steagall then, and we don't have Glass-Steagall now. But the main thing that makes this decade, this time, this very juncture in economic history so damn important, and has got me so fired up, and has got me so passionate, is the fact that we've never been so vulnerable as we are right now. Listen. You have a crazy economy that's supposed to be a service-based economy where 70% of your economy is nothing but consumption. We don't produce anything. We don't make anything. Our biggest exports are trash, recyclables, and pornography. What a fall from grace that is, okay? Now, on top of that, they did not have, back in 29 and in 33, they didn't have the crazy, insane, cocaine-fueled financial instruments like they have today, like the derivatives, like the credit default swaps, like the debt obligations. These things did not exist back then, but these things exist now. They didn't have a global 1.4, 1.5 quadrillion derivative debt. They didn't have a point where banks today have more debt than global economies. It's unbelievable. Deutsche Bank, big bank, is the biggest bank in Germany and one of the biggest banks in the Eurozone. They're going to go belly up. Watch it. Watch it. I said it. It's going to happen. Okay? They are in such a danger zone. They don't know what to do. Deutsche Bank's derivative debt is greater than the global economy, folks. That is one bank. $72 trillion in derivative exposure. Okay? The global economy, all the countries in the world combined, is only $66 trillion GDP. Think about the insaneness. So when the Dow has gone over 15,000 points, why? Well, it's because all the CEOs, all the insiders are dumping and all the suckers are buying. Typical suckers. They buy high and they sell low. And that's where we are. And that's why this time is different. This time, it's not a cycle. This time, it's not business as usual. This time, you're going to see things that you've never seen before. And that's how I'm going to start this off.
Wow. I mean, just wow. Okay. So, I mean, we are not, I mean, what we're seeing right now is by orders of magnitude so much greater than the precipice of 1929 and 33 at that very edge where we were at back then, obviously. And when we see this crash, it's going to be, again, by orders of magnitude, much worse now than it was last century, is what you're saying. And this is man-made, right? I mean, this is manufactured.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, what burns me up today, what really gets me infuriated is the naivete of the population. It's the naivete of people to say, well, they're trying their best in order to fix this problem. Or they're trying their this policy and that monetary policy in order to fix it. Folks, these are not a bunch of haphazard morons trying to fix a problem. The mid-level guys are, some of the executives are, but the top-tier guys, the real power brokers, they are all in on it. They are all connected. They play at the same country club, and I'm telling you right now, it is orchestrated. It is controlled. It is a controlled implosion that we're going to see occur within the economy. And that's where the last time that I was on May 1st, I said the next 10 months are going to be critical. And I highly stress that, the next 10 months. You know, some people are like, well, maybe, you know, 2015 it might come. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't have till 2015. You know, I would have given you 2015. If you had asked me maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I could have probably said, maybe I can see this slowing down. Maybe I can see the elites pulling back a little bit. I could probably see the power brokers pulling back on their, you know, just loosening up their strings of control just a little bit over the marketplace. But that's not what I'm seeing, okay? Because, like I said, the first time I was on January 11th, all Keynesian, top-down, centrally controlled economic models always end in a collapse or war. And I said months ago to Steve, I remember back in August talking to him, I said, Steve, the markets are screaming war. The markets are screaming war. The numbers are screaming war. There's monetary movements in the Middle East. I see funds being changed. I see money being changed. I see allocations being done. I see assets being moved. I've seen assets being purchased. Steve, get ready for war. It's going to happen. Now, folks, check this out. Today, we're living in a country where we have an administration that is facing massive scandal, massive problems on all sides. You might have forgotten about Fast and Furious, but I haven't. You might have forgotten about Gunwalker, but I haven't. You might have forgotten about Benghazi is the hottest thing right now. But there's so many scandals with Benghazi, with Gunwalker, with Fast and Furious. Now the IRS scandal where this the puppet-in-chief has been caught with his cronies in the IRS going after certain groups that are in opposition to this administration. That's illegal stuff. You can't do that. So it's more and more of a situation right now in this country alone where now the people that are involved, the people that are in the innards and the inner working of both political parties are screaming, hey, you know what? You know, our veneer, the charade is falling apart, and the veneer is coming off. They're going to do something. these guys, because the economy's coming down, you have this administration is riddled with scandals, you can expect some sort of a thing. Okay? Look at what's going on in Syria. You got a maniacal Looney Tune policy of funding Al-Qaeda in Syria. And, well, Al-Qaeda in Syria is known as the Free Syrian Army. Okay, there's nothing free about it, and there's nothing Syrian about it. Okay, these guys are a bunch of Wahhabists from Chechnya, from Saudi Arabia, from Uzbekistan, and all the different Dagestans, and this stand, and that stand, and I don't know what other stands. Okay, they're not Syrian. So we're funding a bunch of maniacal maniacs over there. That whole policy is blowing back on our face. That's creating controversy. That's creating a pressure cooker. So everywhere you look globally right now is massive pressure. Massive pressure. And this system, okay, folks, let me tell you how fragile the system is. 3-4 weeks ago, okay, some idiot hacked into the Associated Press Twitter account and said there was some sort of an explosion at the White House and Obama's injured. It's a made-up junk. It was fake. The story was nonsense. As soon as that story was tweeted, $24 billion, just like that, was got from the S&P 500. Just like that, in 3 weeks. That shows you how volatile, how fragile the marketplace is. The marketplace has never been big. People ask me, oh, V, you know, here's the deal. You have, you know, look at gold, look at silver, you know, there's a supply. And of course it doesn't make sense because the market is not based on reality. It's based subjectively on perception and perception alone. So, if you will, there's a perception of a conflict in the Middle East. And God forbid that happens because that's where these morons are going to lead. Okay, so economically, that's where we are. The system right now, the banking system is stressed. Okay, the financial systems are stressed. The monetary systems are stressed. The lending systems are stressed. The trade systems are stressed. The exchange systems are stressed. The forex systems are stressed. COMEX is going to go into default. Folks, I've never seen it like this. Never seen it like this. It's unbelievable.
Steve, can you speak to that? Because you've got a lot of background, deep background, with where V is headed on this. Do we lose Steve?
Yeah.
We lost Steve.
Steve dropped off.
Okay.
The call was dropped.
All right, we're going to get Steve back, but V, I got to tell you, we're looking at according to my intelligence sources, we're looking at the slightest misstep in Syria is going to be cause for us being toe-to-toe with the Russians, basically.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what Benghazi was all about. Sorry about that. We dropped you. But he was talking about where we're at with, I don't know how much you heard, but where we're at with the market and looming war. You've got some deep background on that. Can you speak to the looming war that we're facing right now?
Well, absolutely. And everything that V has stated, Doug, is listen, when goods don't cross borders, armies do. When politicians get in hot water, the blood of the innocent is the only thing that can cover up their stealth stealing, their stealth pilfering, and their stealth murder. So the thing is that it is a maxim in the international banking community. This is attributed to Ansel Rothschild, or one of the Rothschilds who made the statement, we make more in one day of war than a year of peace. I posted on my website today probably one of the most disgusting stories I think anybody has ever seen in modern time, and that's basically the guy ripping out the heart and organs and eating them raw of Assad's troops. Now, I think there's even a story that he's a CIA agent. I don't know if people can understand this, but one of the things that I try and write about and warn about is V is in the financial world. He's in the dollars and cents movement, and not say that movement, but also that field. He has been accurate, he has been prescient, and his passion for getting people out of harm's way is what brought him on the radio. And V can tell you, I basically almost told him, don't do it, brother, you're putting yourself in harm's way. You know, obviously he's got a family, and I tried to talk him out of it. And I think, Doug, maybe two times ago, he said, no, Steve, the Lord told me to do this. So, you know, I want people to understand this. Our position is to give you the best foundation of knowledge possible so that as the play-by-play of the industrialists, of the international bankers, and the elite, as they unfold, you'll see it for what it is, and you won't need V or I to tell you the timing. We're teaching you to fish, ladies and gentlemen. We're not just giving you a fish tonight. Having said that, Doug, the story that is telling is those United Devils, and that's what I call them, United Nations. I rebuke them in Jesus' name, but they made a statement. You probably saw it. You know, the world can overcome its hunger issue by eating insects, okay? Well, that's while they all dine on Chateaubriand, caviar, Dom Perignon, and they live la dolce vita, the good life. I don't think people understand, but that's the same attitude that Marie Antoinette said when told that basically that the Frenchmen were starving, and she said, let them eat cake. Let them eat cake. So this elitist attitude, and this is what I think, and V, you can speak to this too, but I mean, the attitude is that the people are expendable on the planet. I remember I was one of the first guys to do the Georgia Guidestones, take the world population down to 500 million. There are quotes on the internet you can find out, Doug. I mean, there is a depopulation plan going on. So it doesn't matter if it's H.N.79. It doesn't matter if it's whatever new numbers they put on whatever new flu. I wrote the book Breathe No Evil, I think, 15 years ago. And the deal is that according to the chemical weapons test ban treaty or whatever, there were no chemical weapons, new ones, to be allowed. Yet the Russians got around it with their called Novichok, which is Russian for newcomers. Well, when the Spanish flu, this is critical, I'm not just telling stories here, this is critical. When the Spanish flu was basically dug out of the ground in Alaska because it had been preserved and some of the people that had died of it, I said immediately on talk radio, I said, this is going to be used by U.S. AMRID, it's going to be used by the Fort Detrick guys to come up with the most devastating biological weapon known to man. It's not even going to be a binary, it's going to be a trinary. It's going to be composed of Spanish flu, it's going to be composed of smallpox and Ebola. And they even had I remember doing shows, Doug, on Ebola pox. Now, how is this important? Before they kill everybody, they want to pick your pockets. So the idea, will they come and take my gold away? Will they come and take my this, that, or the other thing away? They're coming to blow you away and take your stuff. There seems to be such a disconnect that, and I would say this, V gives it 10 months on the outside. My guess is that the time period for the war is escalating dramatically. I believe that all stand-down orders and all sequester orders, in light of what you're hearing and reading, whether it's five aircraft carriers in Norfolk, whether it's the air wings being suspended, 17 missile launch commanders, and by the way, 17 is an interesting number. In biblical numbers, that's preservation in the midst of judgment. I don't know if you know that, Doug, V, or you know. Joe,
I don't know.
Think, yeah, you do now. Okay. And this is something, too. V is up on defense analysis. I mean, V, do you want to explain? I think people associate you with the financial realm, but I mean, you need to tell them, you know, in part of your analysis, and some of the people you work for, don't tell them names. That's not what I'm going for. But I mean, we're not weapons systems and weapons development and aircraft and all that stuff. Basically, Jane's all the world's weapons. Was that not an area that you spent a lot of time in?
Absolutely. I know, and one thing that I'll tell you right now, I mean, I know pretty much every single weapon system that is out there, okay? Everything on the Russian side, everything on the American side, everything on the NATO side. I've been it's always been an interest of mine, and, you know, as an analyst, as somebody who does a lot of strategic forecasting, you just don't place your bets with just finances. But you got to know if there's a war, what both sides of the army has, because that plays into the valuations and calculations of your forecasting, and in this way your client is able to better place and hedge their bets on what's going to happen. It's important, okay? When Strat 4, I don't know if you guys remember, I think a couple of years back, when Strat 4, when they got hacked by Anonymous, I think it was, and they leaked all the Strat 4 top members, their email, you know, little candidly, I was on that list of one of the top guys over there. So that is, you know, my name was on that list. So just giving a little snippet there, because I have to know about these weapon systems. Now, look, there's a lot of things that, you know, that alarms me. Okay, when I look over, see designs, and I see, you know, concepts emerging in China that are pretty much, you know, that are basically knockoff American, you know. The Chinese have two stealth fighters, okay, the J-20, which back in 2011 they debuted it, and the J-20 was when Robert Gates went over to visit China, they unveiled the J-20, which is basically their F-22 rival, okay? It is a fantastic airplane. I've seen some of the mock-ups they've had for their cockpit. It's what's called an all-glass cockpit, okay? So it's a few multi-function display screens. It has helmet-mounted sights that actually do work, and they're going to be equipping it with an Acer radar. The only thing that the Chinese are lacking is credible jet engines, okay? They're still not used they don't have the experience developing high-quality jet propulsion. So they're still using, you know, RD-33s and RD-35s that you find in the Russian Sukhoi SU-33s, SU-27s, as well as the MiG-29s. The second thing that I've seen is that the Chinese just produced when Norman... Not Norman. What's his name again? Richard Perle. Who was the former defense secretary? He's so forgettable. The guy.
And I just interjected here with a senior moment. I don't know. Defense secretary.
It's Richard. No, was it Richard Perle? No, it's not Richard Perle. But anyway, the guy from New Mexico. He's right now over at. He was at the CIA for a little bit, and now he's gone. Anyway, when that guy went over there back in December of 2012, lo and behold, the Chinese decided to come out with their second stealth fighter, which happens to be looking at F-35, but without any of the problems that the F-35 faced, such as rearward visibility, things of that. Just this week, just released a brand-new drone that looks just XB-47 drone that the Navy's starting to test right now and that the Air Force is using as well. So we've seen a massive transfer of technology. Look, there's some sort of a leak that is occurring within these corporations. Because look, here's the thing. The same disease that has overtaken banks, multinational investment houses, okay, and that disease is there's no honor, there's no regard for sovereignty, for country, for culture, for borders, for language, for any of those things, okay? The underlying motive is profit, okay? That is the underlying motive. So these defense contractors figure, hey, you know what? We can make more money if we sell weapons and technology to both sides, and that's exactly what they're doing, all right? We're seeing a rise in power in China where the Chinese are pretty much, you know, coming up very strong. All right, they just launched their new Aegis type destroyer, okay, as well as developing a new stealth cruiser. So these things they're moving up very quickly, you know, and then the Russians. I mean, the Russians have some phenomenal aircraft that they're, you know, starting to roll out. All this is occurring, and then you look at us. We have an F-22 Raptor that's pretty much choking their pilots once they get above 20,000 feet. Okay, the air oxygen system, which the oxygen replenishment system, which the pilots use to breathe, don't work. It's choking them out. It's actually a lot of the pilots are getting what's called Raptor cough. Guess where that oxygen system comes from?
China. Guess who funded those projects? The multinational banks underwrote those checks, okay, to get this thing done.
Nice.
Then the sequester happens, and what happens? The F-22, one or two squadrons get grounded, okay? The marketing mavens over at Lockheed crammed down this stupid waste of money plane called the F-35 Lightning II down everybody's throats, where they projected this plane as the jack of all trades and the second coming of Christ. The plane has nothing but it's a failed project. They need to scrap the thing. But rather than scrapping it, it's continuing it on. Okay, it's just continuing on. We don't have any our current fourth generation aircraft that we're using, the F-15s, the F-16s, the F-18s. Folks, I'm gonna tell you right now. Back in 2008, I'm gonna show you how good a Soviet aircraft have gotten. Back in 2008, the United States Air Force did an exercise against the Indian Air Force over in India. It was called COPE India 2008, okay? The Indians fly a version of the Russian Su-27 Flanker. It's called the Su-33 MKI, okay? I is for India. And the Su-33 MKI, if you want to Google it up in a Google image, it's a pretty nice-looking aircraft. It's got canards in the front, very high angles of attack, 3D thrust vectoring, kind of like an F-22. The Indians had a kill ratio of 8-1, meaning for every one Indian aircraft that was lost, the Indians shot down 8 American aircraft, because our F-15s and our F-16s could not compete with the newer Russian hardware. It just couldn't. So that's the kind of trouble we're at right now. So this bravado of, oh, we got the money. No, we don't. This bravado of, oh, we got the military, we got the hardware. No, we don't. Folks, we're in a lot of problems. So we're economically, a superpower is only as great as its economy. And our economy for the last 10 years or so has really been falling apart. And everything that has trying to be built within the last 10 years, look at the F-35. It is victim of funding. It's over a budget. It's bloated. There's no quality to it. And it's reflective of a superpower that's going broke and doesn't know how to spend its money, doesn't know how to properly allocate its funds. So, you know, economically we're weak. Militarily we're weak. You know, I told you about the Germans being, you know, they're not very happy with what's going on. They're upset with the fact that, you know, we've lost our gold. Okay, that's the word from the grapevine. We've lost our gold, folks. This is pretty serious. Okay, Steve mentioned that there's a Panzer division somewhere in the U.S. Steve, did you mention that before? I think you said there was a Panzer division somewhere.
Well, yeah, I have two Panzer divisions up in Calgary, I believe, and you know, on the Canadian border. The Germans are also at Holloman Air Force Base, so. You know, the thing that I think people need to understand is this. People couldn't understand how Germany and France will end up being two of America's enemies and launching when this war comes. I'll tell you what, V, everybody's got to realize that nations who have had their gold plundered and pilfered are not going to take it lying down. They're going to come and say in their hearts, come and let us take a spoil. Payback can be, you know, the old statement, payback can be a, you know, female dog. And it's going to be so quick and so furious. I mean, I remember being on talk radio, Doug, I don't know how long ago you listened to me, and women, that was interesting. They were such brave. Restaurant waitresses who spoke German, listening to the Germans even 10, 15 years ago speaking. Now, I have nothing against Germans, okay? I want to make this clear. I'm just telling you that the military are here, and who would have ever thought we would bring Spetsnaz into this country, Russian Special Forces, or as they say it, Spetsnaz. The thing is that, and then have warnings this week about Spetsnaz. One of their specialties is their nuclear division is suitcase and backpack nukes. So the point in all of this being relevant is that the money is going to fail. Cyber attacks are going to take everyone's money out. And, you know, B, when you and I first talked about that, you and I both got those up, and I'm not going to, I'm only going to use initials, you know. We got all of the scoundrels. We got the jackals, and we got the hyenas, and that's never going to happen. And then your sources behind the scenes told the true nature of it. You know, they'd admit to 10, 15, 20 million. But when it got up in the hundreds of billions, it was covered up at all costs. Is that not accurate?
That's absolutely 100% accurate.
If I can I'm sorry. I just want to interject something here to speak with to what V was talking about, if I could, and Steve too. Extortion 1-7, SEAL Team 6 that went down on August 6, 2011, they were flying in a CH-47 helicopter that was built in the 1960s, had not been upgraded since the mid-1980s. You said you gave a lot of information about the weaponry. And I just wonder how many people really know. And a couple of things I just want to throw in here for context. People need to understand, I think, that Obama, what he's doing with our special operation forces, which fits into what you're saying about the various weaponries that we have. Just to give people an idea of what's taking place, in 2009, our special ops missions averaged about 56 per month. In 2010, 186. But in a one-year period from August 2010 to July 2011, we were running 334 special operations per month. It's just a phenomenal uptick in operational activity, special operational activity. Yet, our rules of engagement have been stomped on, to the extent where now we've got in an 8-year period, we had the 2,724 men and women come back as amputees or wounded in action. 3 years under Obama, that has grown to nearly 15,000. To be precise, it's 14,977. So with the weaponry you're talking about, we're killing our people. We're killing our own military. I just wanted to throw that in.
Absolutely. Guys, I mean, the only thing that we have hanging on by a thread is we still have the best airplane in the world, which is the F-22, but that's hamstrung under 20,000 feet, okay? Now, about those Panzer divisions that Steve mentioned, let me tell you guys something. Right? When I ask the average Joe Blow on the street, hey, what's the best tank in the world? His immediate answer is the M1A2 Abrams. That answer is absolutely wrong. The best darn tank in the world today is the German Leopard 2. The Leo 2 is the baddest tank on the battlefield. It is the king. Right? Night fighting, it is incredible. It is the most highly networked tank. It is incredibly accurate. It has the speed, the mobility, the agility, and the firepower to match up. So if the Germans got a Leos up here, we're in trouble. So take that into account. Take that into account that you know, our aircraft carriers are now vulnerable to the new Chinese developed hypersonic carrier killer missiles, as well as the Russian Sunburn missiles that are hypersonic. So the Indians have also developed a hypersonic erratic maneuvering missile that's designed to kill American aircraft carriers. And the Russians and the Indians have also developed a torpedo that can go over 400 miles an hour underwater, designed to kill carriers. And right before they impact, they do erratic maneuvers so you can't hit them. So we're at a disadvantage in every aspect. Take into account also that, you know, nuclearly we've been dismantling our nukes. We've been scaling back our nukes. Our special forces are being used in illegal ways, okay, in ways that they're not supposed to be used, okay? So all these things are happening. I mean, the people that are in control right now of the military, these guys should be arrested. This is criminal. It's absolutely criminal what's happening. They're defanging the biggest tiger on the block. The biggest tiger in the zoo is right now being defanged. It's being declawed. You know, and that's exactly what they're doing to us. They're economically, well, the economics is so important because it's the lifeblood. The economics is the scaffolding that holds the whole structure together. It's the blood that pumps and keeps the country moving. So now our blood supply has been cut out. We're bleeding out everywhere. And then they're defanging us. They're taking away our teeth, our ability to fight. They're taking away our claws, our ability to hold on and to achieve. I mean, these things are all being taken away from us, and we're vulnerable. We've never been more vulnerable as a nation than where we are now. So I want everybody listening to this program to get this into your head. Okay, we're not the impenetrable fortress. We're not the city on the hill. We're not the no longer protected by two bodies of water, you know? We don't have those protections anymore. We are more vulnerable now than ever before. And all it takes now, and I mean now, when people ask me, like, hey, V, when can this all happen? And I look at them and I say, any day now. And literally, folks, that's what it is. It's any day now. You know why? Because that's what I've been told. Is any day now. Any day now. One misstep in Syria. One false flag event over here. One market dump. One cyber attack. One trade that doesn't go right. And this whole thing comes apart.
That's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when I say we're holding on by a string, folks, let me tell you, that string that we're holding on to is thinner than dental floss. That's how thin that string is. That's how real it is. That's how...
Wow.
And I don't know if he just cut off there or lost connection.
I hear you.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, we're up against the top of the hour break. A tremendous first hour. You guys are listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this May 14th, Tuesday, 2013, with our very special guest, the Gorilla Economist V and Steve Quayle. We'll be right back after the break, folks. Stay with us.
Open the AMs.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com 866-404-3663.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a very, very special program. It's a tremendous Tuesday anytime we have Steve Quayle and, of course, the guerrilla economist known as V with us, joining us and spending time with us explaining exactly what is taking place in the financial world. And with that financial world, there's this template overlay of the global economy and, of course, the global state of affairs, whether it be war, rumors of war. But this is the time in which we live. We are honored and humbled. Please, folks, bookmark stevequayle.com. That's stevequayle.com. Check the headlines every day. They're extremely important. Certainly go to the Q Alerts. Check that out. And also check out every aspect of his website. Also, you'll find notices, messages, alerts from the Guerrilla Economist, V, there at that website as well. And we'd like to tie into that here at HomelandSecurityUS.com, our home base. With that, gentlemen, welcome back to tonight's program.
Well, welcome back, and thank you, Doug, for having us on. You know, one of the things that is really critical that people understand is the press. And I've made the statement. I'm going to read you a quote from one of the most famous and preeminent New York journalists and somebody that was in his day the most looked up to man. He would have been the equivalent of Walter Cronkite, okay? And then I'm going to let people just guess for a minute what year this was said. One night, probably in a certain day, John Swinton, then the preeminent New York journalist, was a guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying, "There is no such thing as the state of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear on one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of journalists, now listen to this, the business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to vert, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it and I know it, and what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, if I told you that that's almost, well, 133 years ago, you would probably say, how can that be? Well, that tells you for the last 133 years that the press has been controlled. So how is this relating? When V is telling you that he's a defense analyst, I can tell you, I've talked to him, and he can rattle off stuff that even though I used to read Jane's All the World's Weapons, the guy's memorized it, okay? And I'm saying this. The Bible says, give credit to whom credit due, honor to whom honor's due. And the fact that the Lord would pull him out of the world he's been in for so long and tell him to warn his people should be a heads up to all of you out there. This is not some flunky talking head. The flunky talking heads are on the TV stations that you all watch. Now, I'm hoping, Doug, that, you know, and of course we're talking to people around the world, but it's the same everywhere. The point being is if you control the media, you control the flow of information. If you control the flow of information, you control the conclusions that people are drawn. This is basically Hegel on steroids shot into space in some kind of ramjet or scramjet mode. In other words, this is happening beyond anyone's ability to recognize. You are, ladies and gentlemen, and I get this all the time, Doug, I'm sure you do too. Well, if those guys were telling the truth, it would be on Fox or CNN. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And when somebody gives me that line, I want to share this, unless they repent, I write them off. I write them off. Someone says, that's not very loving. It's a matter of survival. The bottom line is Jesus had made it clear that the betrayal that's coming, there'll come a time when they'll kill Christians and believe they're doing God a favor. In warning and warning and warning and warning and warning and warning, people basically don't believe the voices that God raises up any more than they believe in gold and silver. The majority, only 1% of the entire population of the United States, buys gold and silver. Meanwhile, India just took another 90 tons. And the thing that is really hard for most people to understand is that, and this is it, and I don't know how, V made the statement last time we were on the show together. He said, how many times do I have to tell you, you know, I think you said, what did you say, V? How many times or do I have to tell you you're dead, you know, or something to that effect?
Yeah, how many times I got to tell you that you're screwed?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a better way of saying it, you know. And it doesn't matter if it's a Phillips head, a Torx, or a straight slot, you're screwed anyway. So the thing is that the only thing we can do is to show what you're being exposed to versus what you can find out. It's why, you know, since 20 years, Doug, 21, whatever now, I've told people, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, how many people take it to you in prayer? He said, nothing. You know, nothing. Very few. And I said, Lord, I mean, are you talking few? And the Lord said, very few. And then, you know, all I can say is, I guess that's why broad is the way. And in recognizing the lateness of the hour, I wish the people that want to fight with each other and want to fight with us would take on the enemy. And instead of saying, well, we need to do this or we need to do that, even though it's rhetorical, that means somebody should do something to give me my normal, usual life back so I don't have to worry about all this stuff. Doug, I've literally had people over the years, not recently, but over the years, put their fingers in their ears and start singing or run away because they didn't want to hear the truth. I would say that is why the pukes in the pulpits that preach another gospel have been so effective in offering up the, quote, supposed Christians on the altar of convenience and entertainment. And when you're put on the altar of convenience and entertainment and you're taken away from the truth, and when Jesus isn't uplifted, then you're ripe for the slaughter. And it's kind of like people are going to recognize they are the sacrifice. Oh, it's not Abraham offering up Isaac. This is basically the New World Order having a blood fest. An orgy of destruction is coming. So all I can say is this, no matter how I form the words, no matter how I articulate the thoughts, no matter how I try and tell people, I'm going to make this again, I don't know if it's a millionth time, not a million, but let's say 10,000th time, there is no political solution to the spiritual rebellion, the idolatry, the infant slaughter, the sacrifice to demons, the everything else that we give the world. We murder men, women, and children and call it collateral damage. We murder our own Navy SEALs. That piece of, and I won't say a caca, that they were flying, most times in the old days, Navy SEALs wouldn't even allow anything other than that what they're familiar with and state of the art. Whoever set those men up, set them up to die. And then all of the assassinations that are continuing on. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are outlaw country. This is outland. There are no more rules. You think that basically the Lone Ranger and Tonto are going to ride in and basically the good guys in white, whether they wear a mask or not, are going to save you. There is no salvation. The only place any of us can go is to basically be in the secret place of Most High God. Now, saying that, I believe each man is responsible for his family's safety. I've encouraged Christians who say, well, what about killing? What about murder? There is a basic right to self-defense. If there weren't, then God could not, in his holiness, condemn suicide. But God does condemn suicide, and some of you that tell me you're just going to walk into the camps and be a witness for the Lord, yeah, witness means martyr. And I would say to you the same question that God asked the children of Israel when they were overwhelmed with stupidity, why will you die, oh man, why will you die? It's not like I and others haven't worn for 20 years. It's not like the specificity of those things we would say are coming, are here. And I'm going to share something, Doug, that's really critical. The people that have bought my book, and I'm not trying to pitch my book, and for the record, all you people out there, I give away to any veteran that asks or anybody that can't afford it my book. So this is not about selling books, but it is about informing people. The Genetic Armageddon book is the one that I would say this, the people who can buy it should buy it, because every day now there's an acceleration taking place of the hatred towards humanity based on transhumanism and based on every single form of the combination of robotics and nanotechnology and singularity where men and machines merge. And, oh, by the way, you might like to know that the porn industry is leading the dollars spent on sex bots. I remember I talked about that 10 years ago and people just thought I was, you know, coming from a different planet. If you understand that that is who is funding a majority of that development, skin that's real, even the texture of certain body organs, all that stuff, the sensory acceleration. It's one thing to tell you that 10 years ago. It's another thing to read it in the headlines now. So I would encourage those of you who can to go on my website and get Genetic Armageddon. Today's technology, tomorrow's monsters. If I ever revise that, it's going to be today's technology or yesterday's technology, today's monsters. And then and True Legends, because people are sending me emails, True Legends comes out, the Lord willing, about June 1st to mid-June. And with the information, you'll be astonished to find out that there are absolute documents by the U.S. military validating Stargates, validating them. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you think this is just a bunch of hocus-pocus, when you think this is just a bunch of late-night entertainment, you have another thing coming. Jesus said it like this, and I have quoted this because I believe it speaks. There's no man who can articulate it better. If I've told you earthly things and you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? And that's where we're at, Doug. And B is giving you the vision behind the veil. Look, people want to go on blogs, let them blog themselves into the blue or oblivion. But the thing is, having been in precious metals for 35 years, and this is what we're trying to tell people, you say you trust God, Christian, yet you go and invest in annuities, paper, the majority of Christians do. You listen to Dave Ramsey and you listen to all these guys still towing the party line. And the aversion to what God made versus what man in his rebellion created is astonishing to me. So if the remnant equals 1%, 2%, known only to God, I don't know what it is, The thing is that you better be wiser. And for the record, this last couple weeks, I probably spent more time talking to people. This one question I got, and V, I don't know when you're going to open, you know, or answer all the questions you were sent. But when people say I'm down to my last 1,000, 2,000, or 5,000, should I buy silver? My answer is absolutely not. Buy food. You're reading every day of droughts and famine. You're reading every day that the West is going to catch on fire. And interestingly enough, Hawk's been talking about gray terror. Most of you don't understand what gray terror is. Google it. Jeff Nyquist wrote a great, great piece on it years ago. And so the point is we are now in the time frame, as V's friends have told you, or told him to pass on to you, it's any time now. Someone misdirects, and if you didn't see, Vladimir Putin is no dancing clown or circus bear. I do not endorse what he does, but I do recognize and respect the man he is. Putting John Kerry up against Lavrov is like putting a flea against a 1,000-pound sledgehammer. The Russians respect one thing, and that is might. You put a meow man into the position of Secretary of State, and let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to be kept for 3 hours, he's going to be ridiculed, and he's going to be dealt with in contempt. Doesn't matter if he has 100, 200, 400 million, or a billion. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the country's done. And somebody says, you're not a good patriot. You're right, I'm not a good patriot. I am trying to give the warning to everyone. And when some of my critics, and look, why I address them, people say, don't even give them a second thought. No, because you're going to encounter them, and they're going to try and counter what you're being told. And you have to be smart enough, strong enough, and determined enough to find out who's telling the truth. So that's where we're at tonight.
Well said. Well said, Steve. Wow. V, let me ask you, if I can ask you a question, and this is a question that's been on my mind. What we're seeing right now, to me, is the end game of the Illuminati, if you will, the Luciferian, that group of people, the elite of the elite. I heard something today, and I just want to address this with you. As well, I heard where we don't have much time. There will be a bank holiday here in the United States. The economic reset could be pushed at any given time. Are we? I mean, it's clear to me. You know that what you're saying, I mean, is we're that close to the edge, to the end. Is that a fair assessment, though? I mean, am I making too much of this? The information I'm getting, is this accurate? Where we could wake up tomorrow to a bank holiday, or banks being shut down? I mean, that's one of many questions, but let me start there.
Yeah, well, you're not downplaying anything. Okay, you're not. That's first and foremost. Secondly is this, okay, there has to be an event, because right now the markets are dictating it, the numbers are screaming for it, that there has to be some sort of an event globally that has to shock people, okay, and that is, again, you're going to see the first domino piece is going to be Japan. That's a big domino piece to fall. But while this is going on, and this is one of the big reasons why I'm on tonight, sounding the alarm like I've never sounded before, is because when I made mention of Japan being a major focal point of this, okay, that was before all these scandals started racketing up and really, really coming to the forefront with this administration. Okay. It's unprecedented that we are having this many political scandals. It's unprecedented that Congress has the all-time lowest approval rating in history, okay? It's unprecedented that all these things that politically were a failed state, economically were a failure, militarily we haven't won a war since World War II, okay? I mean, guys, this it's so bad.
So what leg are we standing on? You know, when, you know, Steve mentioned about, you know, that meow man. I love that word. John Kerry. the tomato ketchup swigging carpetbagger from Massachusetts going over to the Kremlin. They made him wait and sweat in his pants for about 3-4 hours before they even met with him. That is the ultimate sign of disrespect. Because let me tell you something. Look, people sense weakness. All right? Putin, take him for what it's worth, the man is a brilliant strategist. He doesn't simply bluff. He doesn't simply just talk for the sake of talking. The Russians mean what they say. They are business, and they respect one thing, that is force. That is might. That's why they absolutely respected Reagan. They absolutely respected JFK, you know, because those guys meant what they say. Not like the current amateur that we have in the White House. Not like a guy who's not even qualified to run a convenience store, yet he's the president of the United States. To say that this is similar to Nero fiddling while Rome burned is an understatement. It is an understatement. This is the equivalent of Nero's court jester fiddling while Rome is burning. Okay, that's the equivalent of what we have here. This is the equivalent of not the Titanic, but somebody, you know, before the ship is sinking, goes down into the lower bulkheads and gets the chief bottle washer and says, "Hey, you, come up here. Go ahead and drive the boat." That's the equivalent of what we have going on. All right? So for you to sound the alarm and be concerned about what's going on economically, you're not being far-fetched. You're not downplaying anything because things are that critical. So because of all these critical things that are happening, because of all the pressure that's being built up, the market is dictating there has to be a trigger. There has to be a black swan event. There has to be something that sets this whole thing off. You know, one of the guys I respect is Gerald Celente. Celente said this, and, you know, being a fellow New Yorker, he said, the Middle East is waiting for an Archduke Ferdinand event. He's absolutely right. You know, the Russians have pulled their weight behind the side. So have the Chinese. You know, we're losing that whole, you know, funding the Free Syrian Army. That's, blown up in our face. We're losing in every aspect, okay? So economically, things are very tight. So all you need is some sort of an event, an Archduke type event, some sort of a black swan type event, be it a cyber, be whatever, and that can set this whole thing in motion where nobody can stop it, okay?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. The other information, I got two other bits of information that kind of overlap yours and Steve's. Number one is the interruption. For example, the Black Swan event, especially or specifically to the U.S. dollar, could be the interruption or even the mere threat of interruption of the free flow of oil from the
Middle
East. Okay, that's what I've been hearing now. That could really strike at the soft underbelly of the United States, which is our economy. And the other thing I heard, which kind of is the overlay to all of this, is that the puppet masters, and we can see this by the headlines, are pretty much done with Obama. He has fulfilled, he has done what they needed him to do, and that's to advance this Saudi Qatari Wahhabist objective through the middle the agenda through the Middle East, and now this is why we're seeing the headlines where he's being slammed over Benghazi and the IRS issue and this and all this and that. So we are, and again, my sources tell me we're right now at that moment primed for this whole thing to come crashing down. And I just kind of wanted to get your take. So we're all on the same page apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. The situation in the Middle East, I mean, people don't realize the Strait of Hormuz, okay, is a very, very critical choke point, number one. Number two, the Iranians have the capability to do it. Why? Well, simply because the last 40 years or so, they've been training and developing and creating strategies because they knew that one day that America is going to come for them. And that day is soon coming to pass, okay, soon to arrive, actually. So they are prepped and ready to go ahead and shut down that whole Strait of Hormuz. How they're going to do it, they have mining ships, they have fast attack craft, they can do some damage. They have the Russian Sunburn missiles, which we have no defense against, by the way, and those are aircraft carrier killers, okay? It's almost as good as the also supposed rumor is the China might be giving them their Dongfeng DF-21, which is a hypersonic cruise missile designed to kill carriers and has a 900-mile range. So there's one way of keeping the aircraft carriers out of the Strait of Hormuz, all right? So it's a critical juncture. I mean, whatever it's going to be and however it's going to play out, once the market gets a whiff of this, and remember I told you, the market is not based on reality, it's based on perception. Once they get a whiff of this, you're going to see a dump like you've never seen before. And let me tell you folks how it's going to break down, okay? All the two pig to fails, that's PIG, the two pig to fails, right? All the zombie banks that we have in this country, they're all sitting there holding on to their U.S. Treasury bonds, okay? We all know there's a bubble in the bond market. In fact, we've known about it for over a decade, all right? So we all walk on eggshells when we talk about bonds and the bond market and the muni bonds and all this stuff, okay? But we know that the two pig to fails, they're holding on to this stuff because that was the deal that was cut back in 2008 during the bailouts that we're going to give them, we're going to take on some of their debt, but in place of that debt, we're going to give them a tremendous amount of U.S. government bills, okay, U.S. government bonds. So a lot of these banks are sitting on it. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to every single one of those banks, your Wells Fargo's, your J.P. Morgan's, your Bank of America's, okay, your Citibank's? What do you think is going to happen when all the fund managers who are sitting on ridiculous amounts of U.S. T-bills all of a sudden hears and gets a whiff of the tension in the Middle East, of a Strait of Hormuz being closed, and all of a sudden here comes the speculators? Okay? Here comes the speculators, and all of a sudden, an aggregate asset such as oil starts going through the roof. What do you think they're going to do? They are going to dump every single bond that they have, and they're going to move it to rapidly rising commodity prices. Oil is going to be one of them. They're going to jump into oil like you would not believe. Oil will skyrocket to $150, $180, even $200 a barrel, effectively bringing a complete halt to the U.S. economy. They're going to be dumping, okay, forever the U.S. T-bills and trying to jump into the gold market, okay, which you're going to see the price of gold. That's going to be the moonshot that I've been talking about for so long. That's the moonshot where we're going to see $5,000, $6,000 an ounce for gold, $600, $700, $800 an ounce for silver. Why? Because now the two pig to fails don't want to hold on to the U.S. T-bills anymore. They're getting out of there. They're getting into any type of rising commodity that's rapidly rising in price. They're trying to get into whatever aggregate asset they can get into. They're trying to get out of the dollar. Okay. At that point, when that occurs, what do you think the Fed is going to do? They're going to go into hyper overdrive, trying to buy up all the bonds as quickly and as quietly as possible that the two big to fails are dumping on the bond market. Okay, they're going to try and buy it up very quickly, all right? But they won't be able to, and that's what's going to also trigger the stock market that's what's going to trigger the fail safes and cause the whole bond market to freeze up. Okay, so these are the plans. That these are the scenarios that could happen, and these are the contingency plans that the Fed has drilled for. The Fed's already ready. They know, okay, that there's going to be a pop in there's going to be a massive pop in the bond market because the bond market is a massive bubble. folks, everywhere you look, okay, every aspect of our economy is a bubble. It's fake. It's false. You didn't get it into your head back when the dot-coms became the dot-goms, okay? You didn't get it into your head when the real estate bubble popped, and most of you saw 20, 30, 40, 50% reduction in the value of the price of your homes. You didn't get it those two times. And these college kids taking out these ridiculous college loans, that's another bubble that's about to pop, okay? You're not getting any of this, but now there are major, major bubbles that are going to be popped. The biggest one, because of all the stimulus that these morons have been doing since 2008, the biggest bubble right now is the U.S. dollar. That is the biggest bubble. And when you're hearing reports, when Doug's hearing reports, and Steve's hearing reports, and Joe's hearing reports of, hey, you know what, all we need is the slightest little provocation, all we need is a misstep, and this whole thing comes apart, folks, this whole thing comes apart. It comes apart quickly. And that's why I said the next 10 months are very critical.
Steve, your thoughts.
Well, I can't add any more in that realm, but one of the realms that I'm trying to get people to understand is that when the invisible realm becomes visible, now a lot of preachers preach on Ephesians 6, but they put it in the category of just a metaphor, and that's the infamous scripture. Hold on a minute, Doug. That's the infamous scripture that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Years ago, and I cannot find the prophecy, the most startling prophecy the Lord has ever given me, I lost, and I had them all together, but it was this, the gist of it is, the things of your nightmare are going to become every day. The invisible is going to be made visible, and your heart's going to fail you for looking after those things coming upon the earth unless you look to me. So the interesting thing is, and here's the hope for tonight, you know, the reason why we do what we do is based on one wonderful scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. People can argue with me, and after the last show we had with David Langford, Pastor David Langford, and you and I and Joe, you know, obviously you got the emails, I got the emails, but here's the thing. We're telling people what's going to happen ahead of time. As we've said, I've seen my stuff ripped off word for word. I've seen V's stuff ripped off word for word. And I guess it really isn't important that it gets ripped off. It's important that it gets disseminated. But what's happening right now is that as much as V is talking about the weapon systems and everything that exists, and by the way, again, what Hawk has tried to do over the years is tried to get people to understand what's really out there, really out there. For instance, let me give you a good example. We've talked about TR-3Bs and larger TR-4s and even huge giant craft that are off deployed off-planet and even in other dimensions. Now, this is beyond most people's ability to deal with. And the primary defense against nuclear missiles and devices is the joint Delta 7 group, including the Army, Mighty Men and Women of Valor, and some of SEAL Team 6 and their TR-3s and TR-4s. They have plasma weapons. They have laser weapons. They have sonic weapons. They have nuclear weapons and are the baddest things flying from Earth with sensors that are 150 years ahead of regular military. And these things are reserved in the extremes because of the separation of what's called the Magi and the Magicians. And this all has to do with Majestic and the control and the fears that Roosevelt and Eisenhower had about the military-industrial complex. This is meant as a check and balance system. But when you have not a Trojan horse, but a Trojan president and his entire staff being composed of communists, and Ayer's statement that 30 to 50 million people have to die, and those just happen to be gun owners, and then you see the attack on guns, the withholding of ammunition. Doug, you remember when you and I did the show and I said that VHS was buying up all the ammo off the civilian market? and you and I both got, you know, hate mail, and we don't know, and I've talked to Remington. Yeah, like Remington or CCI knows all the purchase orders coming in. They certainly know that somebody's paying them, but they certainly don't know. And the fact is that guns were secondary. You can't eat, as somebody said, you can't feed a gun what it needs to eat, and that's ammo. The weapon becomes an expensive club. So now we've got all the denials. We have all the proofs. And here's what I'm trying to say. We are coming into a time when the weapons of our warfare cannot be carnal only, but they must be mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're coming into a time like no other in the history of the world. Jesus himself said, if God, for the sake of the elect, didn't shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. That literally means that not only is it war, not only is it demons, not only is it fallen angels, not only is it the giants coming back into our dimension animated, not only is it all those things, but it is the very kingdom of hell wanting to establish itself on the throne that's meant for Jesus in Jerusalem, the throne of David. So all of the prophecies testify of Jesus and the Lamb that's worthy to open the seals in the book of Revelation. It's the fulfillment of the prophecies of Daniel. It is the unsealing of specific events for specific times. I just sent Tom Horn an email. Most people find this interesting. There was a story out of Brighton, England. I cannot confirm it yet, but I can confirm through Brother Marcus Samuel and others in the Navajo Reservation, in the Sioux Reservation, the Blackfoot Reservation, that they're all reporting anomalous portals opening. Again, I want to make this clear. The reason I wrote True Legends was to show you the complete control of the truth in history to keep you from understanding what's going to be used against you. One of the rules of war, you got to know what you're going up against. You got to know who you're going up against. And you got to know who the real enemy is. That's what Paul was writing to the Ephesians about, saying, yeah, you see a physical enemy, but you've got to see what's behind the scenes. You've got to see the spirit world. So Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit enabling the Christians to have discerning of spirits. And I've got to tell you, I've been snookered, I've been betrayed, and I'm just saying this, not to woe is me, but by Christians, because I did not seek the Lord first. When B became my friend, when Pastor Langford became my friend, Doug, when you became my friend, that was something God did. That wasn't something I did. It wasn't something I was saying, oh, gee, I just need a good friend. That's true. Everybody needs a good friend. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the prayers for me is for those of you who are widows, those of you who are shut in your homes, God bless you, Brother Glenn. Those of you, I'm praying that God's going to give you better friends than you could ever choose for yourself. That's a nugget from him. A nugget is rhema. Rhema is the Greek word for a word that is quickened by the Spirit of God, not just read by your eyes or even necessarily read out loud and heard with your ears. Rhema is when God tells you something, it comes to pass. So what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to do this, Doug, I'm trying to do this in as loving a manner as I can to get people to understand that there truly is nothing new under the sun, to quote Solomon, and to recognize what they're going to be up against, and then that God's got an answer for us. Right now, I just received an email from a group of intercessors. God bless you, Romy. I know you're praying right now, too. But the thing is that the war is intensifying. The war is becoming something that in our own strength we can't deal with it. I can't tell you how many times I've had to pray, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how to deal with this. And the thing is that God is the one who empowers us. That's what Pastor Langford been trying to get across to people. You need to know that you know that you know that the power of God is present and resident in you to deal with the times ahead. So saying all that, Doug, God is going to pour his Spirit out. It's going to be an amazing outpouring, but it's going to be in the middle of the darkest time. It's going to be where there is no fallback position. It's going to be that we can only fall forward on our faces. And look, again, I am not a pacifist, and I'm one of the strongest voices against what's going on to take our guns away. So the point that is in all of this is we've got a two-front war going on. We've got the physical and we've got the spiritual, and it's really hard for people to understand that.
Exactly, Steve, and I've got to say, I received email, and V, this speaks to you. A lot of people had emailed me and said, you know, I was surprised to hear the guerrilla economist talking about matters of spirituality. And I thought, wow, you know, this is what it's all about. I mean, the end game is the spiritual aspect of things, and it's the propellant behind what we're seeing. But V, if I can ask this question, not take us off track here, Steve, but if I can ask this question, V, I've been getting also a lot of email by people saying, well, you know what, an economic reset, we need one. In fact, that would destroy the Fed and the fiat currency. What's wrong with that statement?
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that statement. The thing that's wrong with that statement is, number one, if you think for 1 second if you think for just a moment that somehow, okay, this economy and all the drivers, all the indicators of the economy is being manipulated, is being steered, is being guided by forces that you have no control of, forces you have no idea of. And this is one of the things that gets me so irritated. I keep telling people, stop being naive. People tell me, oh, it's a cycle. Oh, reset's a good thing. Fool. A reset is not a good thing. A reset is you in a FEMA camp. A reset is you in a new type of banking system where there is no freedom. A reset is going to be you in a monetary economic system where every aspect of who you are as a person is watched, monitored, recorded, and that is and that will predicate what type of loan you will get, what type of employment you would get. Everything is going to be integrated. So look, they're not collapsing this in order to give you, Joe Schmo on the street, a chance to uprise. They're not bringing this thing to an end so they can allow you, okay, an opportunity to establish your republic or have a rah-rah pep rally for freedom here. They're collapsing this because what they're bringing in is going to be hardcore economic tyranny. What they're going to be bringing in is a new system of total control, of total awareness, of total tracking of every single thing you're going to do. The new thing that they're going to bring out is going to be digital. You see, you're talking about reset, okay? You're talking about, and you're assuming that, you know, it's going to work in your favor. You don't get it. The tools that they're using, okay, we're talking about the architects of the system. We're talking about the ones who create the tools and the environment in which you transact, okay? And in that environment, you don't control that. They do. They do. They control all the transactions. They control that framework that you are able to buy and sell and save and invest. And you think for 1 second they're going to give up their control? You think for 1 second they're going to allow this collapse to go through, this reset? See, the difference between you and I, when I talk about a reset and when those that are out there that still have their heads in the sand talk about a reset, the difference is this. When I'm talking about a reset, it's not good. It's not something that's going to work out well for you. Okay? It's not something that you're going to come out of this and it's going to be a brand new day and, you know, we've taken back the world and, no. What I'm talking about is something wicked this way comes. That's what I'm talking about. You, on the other hand, and most people that are out there that don't think about this kind of stuff, that has zero experience with this stuff, are thinking of some sort of a happy ending to this thing.
that it's going to reset and we're going to somehow magically go back on a gold and silver standard and there's going to be fiscal responsibility in government and the republic will be restored and there's going to be honesty in Congress and politicians will save the day. You're crazy. You're living in a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. I'm here warning you. I'm here warning you to wake you up, to get your, number one, your spiritual house in order. Look, you cannot survive what's coming unless you have a faith in God. You cannot survive what's coming unless you have a faith in Christ. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. That's your first investment right there. Then we can talk about all the other measures you need to take, food, this, that, and the other. You know, in fact, I'm going to tell everybody this. You know, Steve and his web developer just put up, I think a day or two ago, on stevecoyle.com, if you drop down to the bottom of his site on his webpage, there's a little link there. It says V Guerrilla Consulting, Trench Warfare for the Financial End Days. That's a little link right there. If you click that banner, all right, go down to the bottom of the page, click that banner, and then you will be able to contact me. Okay, I'm making myself, because the time is short, because I want to help as much people as possible, all right? And there are people out there that have a significant portfolio, okay? You need some serious help. You need some guidance. And you know you're a little leery about calling up, Dudley Do-Right over at Morgan Stanley. You're a little leery calling up the boys that were at Merrill Lynch. You're a little leery about the market. You're able to contact me, and for a nominal, nominal fee, I will show you exactly what you need to do in order to survive what's going to come. And I'm going to make myself available to you, and I'm also going to make myself available to any kind of Christian church organization or nonprofit organization that needs guidance, because what is about to befall this world is going to affect all of us, okay? For those that don't have anything significant to risk, you know, like what Steve said, if you got $1,000, $2,000 in the bank, buy food. Buy food and then figure out a way how to keep the food, okay? For everybody else, you know, I talk about precious metal. There's other things that we can do. But if you contact me, and I'll show you exactly how you need to plan out a serious survival, a financial survival guide for you, and I'll steer you through this mess. Okay, that I promise you. And one thing that I do promise as well, I'm not going to be somebody who's just going to tell you what to do and just give you some brief, nondescript action plan. I'm actually going to take what you say, know what your assets are, and I'm going to pray about it. And then I'm going to give you my answer. And I'll talk to you, and I'll steer you through this whole thing. All right? But that's the thing that me and Steve have come together. Hey, you know, this is a great way of helping people out. And we put that out there to help people in this time, in this juncture, because there are people that are in the kingdom of God, and there are people who just have their money, their wealth, their assets, and they're worried. All right? I don't have a stock to sell you. I don't have an annuity to sell you. I don't have a mutual fund to sell you. I don't have any of that. But what I can give you is steer you through the total asset protection of what is to come. That's what I got to say.
Steve?
Well, I think that for the people that have significant, what I'm trying to do too, Doug, is get the people of God. Now, I've done this for 10 years on my website to understand that they can't take it with them. I mean, I know I have clients that are worth tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. And the thing is that I'm trying to get them to invest in veterans' lives, in single moms' lives, and by the way, I put my money there too. Now, you know, where my heart is, it's with those things, especially when I say those things, those people, the vets, you know, they're getting the worst thing in the world, the treatment that is horrific. But ladies and gentlemen, the thing is that for those of you who have wealth, you know, in the millions, you're going to need these advice, because I can tell you this, okay? You're not going to find a more well-rounded guy. You're not going to find a guy that can answer your questions who absolutely lives in the realm of my brain may function as a chaotic supercomputer, but listen, V's younger than I am, and I'm telling you this, I'm blessed to have his knowledge, his skills, his ability, but more importantly, his love for Jesus. And he won't talk about it, but I know the price he's paid to come on this show. I know what goes on in his life, and I know who messes with him. So the thing is that I don't know what, you know, lawyers are charging. Lawyers are charging in Bozeman, Montana, $350 to $400 an hour. Some people take offense. V answers basic questions, but for those of you that need serious portfolio direction and guidance, he's made himself available. Once you establish a relationship with him, all I'm doing is sorting the names. And for the record, this is for V. I don't share anything. I would not share anything. The servant is worthy of his hire. So, again, when you want to get a hold of me, you just send me an email saying, I want to consult with V. I will forward him the contact information. He will then come to you, and you guys will arrange a mutually acceptable time, and he'll help you through this. Now, I want to share this. Since V and I were on the show last, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever, the situation, the precious metals market. I can call Hong Kong, I can call London, but nobody wants to deal with London anymore because London and the whole crew at the London LVME, the thing is that they're covering their losses, and this is the story, ladies and gentlemen. Every nation's gold has been plundered just about. Not the Russians, not the Chinese or even the Indians, but the Western nations, they're going to find out the cupboards are bare. And old Mother Hubbard is a whore, meaning the Federal Reserve, the international banks of international settlements, and especially the bullion banks. The point is that the assumptive risk in the COMEX, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, NYMEX, New York Mercantile Exchange, none of them are delivering in kind. They're only settling for cash settlements. The heads up on that was MF Global, and I'm sorry, but most people know what MF stands for. They absolutely robbed, pillaged, and plundered their customers' accounts. Now, a lot of you have called me and said, well, I've got my money at a depository so I don't have to pay taxes. One of the things I've said to V is, I've said, V, I don't get it. People think that they're going to be able to take delivery of that. Where do you think the government's going to go first? To the depositories. Do you really think that the guys that run the depositories are going to step into a 50 caliber or quad 50s? That's 450s mounted on a Bradley or some DHS monster armored personnel carrier and say, no, you can't have it. They'll come, they'll take it. This is the most naive group of people on the planet. Thank God I have older people that fled Germany, that fled during the Nazis. I think the greatest tragedy in America, and I'm not saying this, I've said this since I started, is the way we treat our elderly. I have made it a point. When I was a hotshot kid trading in big numbers, I would always hire men in their 60s. I figured twice my age, twice my knowledge, and I made two of the best calls in my entire life. I would never hire, unless, you know, there are exceptions to this, but I always hired people who were smarter than me and with much more experience, because their experience, they took a lifetime, and if I could get a point, a 2 points or 3 points, hey, I don't mind being a student when I got the best teachers in the world. So what we're trying to do is put you into the realm of possibility. And one of the most important things is it is possible for you to take control of your life. What's $1,000 worth of food today going to cost you 3 months, 4 months, 5 months? I'm telling you, Montana, we should be wet. We're one of the largest wheat-producing states, one of the largest cattle-producing states. And for those of you that don't get it, the Missouri River starts in Three Forks, Montana. The point I'm trying to make is that last summer, I posted how low the Yellowstone River was. I showed you the pictures of the Yellowstone River where it used to be hundreds of yards across, being 10 yards across in some areas. We actually, because of the law, you can land a helicopter on the high water mark. Well, the high water mark was so close to the channel of water that I think I posted that photograph on my website. What am I saying? drought and famine are here. Pastor Langford gave you a word of prophecy the other night that you must take to heart. There is a famine for the word of God, and all truth is absolutely happening before your eyes. Just as there's a famine for the word of God, the famines are coming. Food, 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 food. Water, 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 water. If you're in a position to relocate, that's something that V can help you with. But the main thing is, you better relocate your heart, because where your treasure is, there's your heart also. And I find it interesting, V, God creates the gold and silver, talks about it in Genesis, and I get more flack from Christians misquoting the scripture, their gold and silver going to rot in the street. Yeah, that's at the day of the Lord when people can't buy anything, especially the wicked, or try and buy off anybody. But until that time, the Antichrist is going to accept gold, silver, and precious jewels. So they don't lose their value anytime soon. And at the time it goes ballistic, that's when you sell half your holdings, you give away, you help, you do whatever, you buy land, you buy what you're going to get, or you get out of Dodge. And that day is fast approaching. And I think we're at the top of the hour, aren't we, Doug?
Yes, we are, Steve. And we're going to go to break right now, folks. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Been through 2 hours with V and Steve Quayle. And an excellent 2 hours it was. Very informative. We'll be back
very with sobering.
Our third and final hour after these quick messages. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. Stay with us.
Better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663. Thank you.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Folks, I ask you every day, what steps have you taken today to prepare? You've heard Steve Quayle. You've heard V talking about what's coming. You know what's coming. Do you have enough food to last 90 days? Do you have enough stored water to last 90 days? How about an emergency survival kit? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a solution to these questions. Just call my friends at American Survival Wholesale. Or go to their website at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them Doug and Joe sent you. And when you do that, you will receive a full king size or full size King James Version Bible in a waterproof case, free with every survival kit or purchases over $199. Folks, don't put this off. Please don't put this off. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And I'm going to be putting up a link on my website to this organization for your benefit, their excellent survival packages. Now, before we get back into the program, Joe, you've got a question from a new listener here. And I think it's important that the new listener, listener new to the program. Okay, from Canada. And B, perhaps you can answer this directly, because this is kind of some. I don't know, I want to say complicated. When I read I had a question.
Yeah, in Canada, this person has a defined contribution plan, and it is termed an RRSP, and they read recently that in the U.S. and other countries, including Canada, they are considering Cyprus-style asset seizures of savings in the event of a future bank failure. They believe that these retirement plans would also be in danger in such a scenario. V, in your opinion, is this correct? And if so, would you recommend withdrawing the retirement funds despite whatever penalties would be incurred by the withdrawing of the funds from these plans?
Absolutely. Every single one of these type of retirement plans, these annuities, out of these annuities, the bonds are very, very, the bond market. Number two, these bonds are all backed up by current.
And V, I don't know, and Steve, I don't know if you can hear this or if you could hear V. It sounds like you were cutting out pretty bad. He dropped off on the phone. We'll wait for him to come back on. Steve.
Yeah, I'm on, and I couldn't hear what V was saying because he was being cut off. I'm sorry, Joe, because I was listening, I didn't hear. What was the question that you asked him? And I'll try and give my, insight into it. The thing is that, can you tell me what it was? Because I was listening to him, and he was dropping off.
Yeah, and we got him back on, but the question was, and this person in Canada has a RRSP, a defined contribution plan,
right,
equivalent to the U.S. retirement plan, and they said since the U.S. is considering Cyprus-style asset seizures and savings in the event of a future bank failure, is the retirement account in jeopardy, and if so, would they recommend Would you recommend withdrawing their retirement funds despite the possible penalties incurred, roughly a 30% penalty apparently?
Right. And my statement is classic. It is repeated time and time again. 70% of something is better than 100% of nothing. And for those of you in Canada, you are already being the very confiscation of funds similar to Cyprus is already being discussed by the Canadian government. They're going to go and make the depositors cover the losses of their banks. So can I say something? I want to make this clear to everyone out there. You are going to pay the tax either way. When you take your money out of your IRA and Keogh, and there are people that argue with me, I've had people get mad at me, and they don't get it. We're not talking about business as usual. We're not talking about investments as usual. We're talking about financial warfare in the arena of reality, and you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose it. Laws in the United States, laws in the Canada, proposals, secret backdoor agreements between Canada and the United States all center around confiscatory policies at how fast they're going to steal your money. End of story. And I don't mean to be smug. I'm just saying point blank, if they put it in the press, they're going to do it. If they put it out in public for 2 years, they're going to do it. Then let's just take a hypothetical dollar, Joe. $100,000. Would you rather have $70,000 of your own money or nothing?
Obviously, I would rather have lesser
$70,000, right?
$70,000, yeah.
Right.
And can I tell you something? It's like the monkey and the banana. This is a good metaphor. I'm not calling anybody a monkey. I'm just saying that the way they trap monkeys, they put a cage that's big enough that the monkey has to drag around. They put the banana in there. The monkey puts his hand in the cage, grabs a banana, and then he won't let go of the banana, and then they basically club the monkey, you know? And because the monkey is stuck in the cage, his hand is stuck with the bait. The bait is what gets them. This is the thing they used. And I want to share this with everybody. V will concur on this, that isn't it funny that the U.S. debt is, quote, officially $17 trillion. Let's cost it that. Or just, you know, approximated $17 trillion, 16.97, and that all the IRAs, KEOs, and 401Ks are 16.97. Can people put two and two together? You don't have the money you think you have in your IRA, KEO, or 401K unless you get it out. What you've got is digital entries in cyberspace that just as those are as unreal as your lack of funds in your pocket or lay your hands on it. I stand by my statement, Joe, Doug, and V. So does V. If you can't touch it, you don't own it. And I have clients that have put it in their gold. They put it in, you know, a Delaware depository or this, that, or the other company. Those companies are going to get hit. Those companies are going to have – look, why waste yourself going out and trying to find 100 people with $10,000 in gold when you can go to one depository and get a quarter of a billion? What's the smartest thing to do? Don't think the enemies of the United States that are coming to take a plunder haven't got this already dialed in. There are military people, but then there are agents, there are provocateurs, there are mercenaries within the military. And, you know, if you know you can go pretty much relatively unscathed and get away with $100 million in gold, you really want to go into the mountains of Tennessee and deal with some of the Tennessee riflemen? You know, no, they're going to go take the $100 million. They're going to go to the banks or the bullion banks or the depositories. That's where they're coming, and that's what people are missing. We're not, am I missing it? Have I not, you said, you know, how many more ways do you have to tell people they're going to get screwed? Here's the thing, outside of the grace of God and taking the scales off of the eyes and the ears of our listeners, I don't think they really believe, the majority do not believe. That question presupposes that things are going to stay the same indefinitely. How many different times do we have to tell you the cyber attacks on banks are coming? The draining of all savings and checking accounts, it's coming. You don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, and those of you who live around the world, you don't know who knows what you have in your account. And the day they pull the plug is everybody is on the same footing. So please, that question, I don't know how to answer it any clearer. Take it, take it, take it, pay the penalty, because where silver's at now, it's still almost 80% less than its high. And with V talking $600 to $800 on silver and gold, you know, $6,000 to $8,000, how can you be so silly as to know? And those of you who bought silver when it was higher, even though you bought it when it was higher and you're all mad now because it's lower, I had one guy just read me the riot act and said, are you going to apologize to me when it goes ballistic? Are you just going to stay in your dumbass, and I call them a dumbass arrogant. Dumbass is a biblical term. Because the thing is that silver, look, I'm intimately tied into the silver market, have been for 30 years. I used to be a big trader until God humbled me and basically said, no more gambling, Steve. And the thing is, you'd think you're a wise man when you're up $300,000 to $400,000 a day, and then on the Friday, when everybody saw that everybody had taken the bait, they crash your market and you lose $500. So am I up $300 or $400? No, I'm down $100. So the point is that what I'm saying is this isn't a crapshoot. What you physically buy, and V, you want to address REITs, real estate investment trusts. I mean, I already answered the person that asked, but I want you to address all paper-denominated assets based on the assumption that the United States is going to have a turnaround, and the people promoting that are the people who are picking your right pocket and promising you to put money into the left.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is this, folks. You know, if you came up to me 10 years ago, you know, and you had this idea of, you know, getting some things together from REIT, this, that, and the other, yeah, it's fine. You could dabble in it. But we've passed the point of no return. You know, we've crossed the Rubicon. You know, this is not about, you know, hey, what's another newfangled investment vehicle that I can put my money into where I can get X percentage growth, profit. Those days are gone, okay? Anything based on real estate, I mean, come on, it's a joke. Then on top of that, you're having real estate that's backed up by fiat currency. That's also another joke. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you is this. You're living in make-believe. You're living in an illusion. You're living a lie. I don't know how else to paint it. Some of you, look, I've had law enforcement officers in some of the wealthiest, and I mean wealthiest law enforcement police departments in the country come up to me and say, hey, what do I do with my pension plan? What do I do with my 401k? And I've had them take the penalty, take the plunge, okay, because, you know, I live in a state where there's a very strong law enforcement tradition with very secure, quote-unquote, dead safe pension plans. And I've had these guys take the penalty, take the hit, and get their money out, okay? And they thank me for it because they see what's coming down. And I'm talking about police chiefs, where they're making $400K plus per year, and the average patrolman is making over $150. Okay, that's the kind of departments I'm talking about that I've, you know, that I've spoken to. Now, here's the deal. Anything based on a denominated currency, and like I told you before, currency is not money. It's not. All right, is subject to failure. Okay, number one. Number two. What is currency? It is a debt obligation of somebody else, okay? And the third thing, do you honestly think that in a state of collapse, you're going to call up your little broker, you're going to call up your bank, and you're going to say, hey, you know what? That $400,000 that I have on an REIT, I want that out. You think they're going to give you $400,000 in cash or $100,000 in cash or $70,000 in cash? No. They're going to give you a paper check. And then you go deposit in a bank. You got to understand, folks, there's no money circulating. There's nothing circulating. The banks are insolvent, and they're hoping and praying that you never catch on to that. They're hoping and praying that they can keep the curtains over your eyes as long as possible. And that's the game that's being played. The only way you're going to escape out of the system is to unplug from the system. And the way you unplug is how I've said so many times,
keep in the bank what you need to pay your bills day to day, your grocery expenses, you know, your utilities, your rent, your mortgage, whatever the heck you got to do, okay? The rest of it, you've got to be in precious metals. You have to be, okay? The days of, you know, should I keep this, should I keep that, it's over. If you're really serious and you have a considerable amount of money that need to be moved, contact me. Okay, go on Steve's site, contact me. I will work with you on how to move those funds. I will work with you and show you exactly what you need to do to crash-proof yourself. And I mean serious crash-proof. Let me tell you, I've had someone give me a call who had a major amount of money in a precious metal depository in Canada. This is a U.S. citizen. I asked him, what should I do, V? Pull it. And he pulled it. Okay? And you got to understand, folks, if you don't hold it, you don't have it. If you can't touch it, you don't have it. It's just that simple. If you don't see it with your own eyes, it's not there. All right? And when the stuff hits the fan, those depositories, you know, those are going to be the first places they're going to be raided. Some people ask me, oh, are they going to come for the gold and silver? No, it's a logistical nightmare. Okay? They're going to go after these deposit areas, and that's where they're going to hit. That's where they get a lot of this stuff from, all right? So be smart. You know, don't be in something that's destined to fail. You know, if you're sitting on whatever, you know, investment, annuity, whatever you're on right now, you're a sitting duck. You're asking to get plundered. You have a target painted on your back. You're asking for it. And if you don't do something soon, you deserve what's coming to you. Sorry for being harsh, but that's the truth.
V, I just want to add this. 2 weeks ago, when I was paying my mortgage payment, I know the tellers at the bank and where my mortgage is because I see them all the time, you know, every month. And at any rate, I had gone in there and I paid my mortgage. And I asked the teller, I said, look, if I wanted to, and I wasn't going to do this, but I figured I'd ask the question anyway. I asked if I could cash a check for $5,000. And the reason I did that is I was reading in a book about the Argentinian the meltdown, basically. But I wanted to see the reaction. And I asked if I could have, you know, if I could cash a $5,000 check to gauge their reaction. The teller said flat out, I'm not sure we have that amount in this branch. Now, it's a pretty significant branch where we live. Is that telling? I mean, my goodness, $5,000? And again, I didn't do it, but, you know, the question was presented to them to gauge their reaction. And I mean, should I be concerned about that bank? I mean, or the whole banking system?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because let me tell you something. You know, one of the things that I said, and I coined it early on, I said, this is not a credit crisis. This is not a liquidity crisis. This is a solvency crisis. The banks are insolvent. They don't have anything, okay? You will... I don't know how you'd find this online, but there's a way, and I just don't, it's not coming to my head right now, but you'll be shocked to find out how many banks are going to the Federal Reserve window. And that's basically a place that a bank would go to borrow money in order to operate. There are banks, folks, and I'm telling you right now, there are some big banks that are going to the Federal Reserve window to borrow $10,000. Think about that for a second. You're having a major bank that has, quote-unquote, hundreds of billions of dollars in assets but are going to the Federal Reserve window, okay, to borrow $10,000 to meet operating expenditures. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? You got to understand, the alliance among these bankers is a very uneasy alliance between them and the federal government. And like I said, the moment that there's a crisis, the moment that the fund managers of these banks smell blood in the water, where they can see an aggregate asset rising or a commodity rising in price, they will dump their U.S. Treasury bonds, okay, because they are having the life choked out of them because of what's happening right now in the bond market within the annuities. It is choking the life and killing the liquidity and causing the insolvency in the banks, and that's the biggest problem that's occurring, all right? What's helping the majority top-tier investment banks is not trickling down to the Main Street banks. It's not trickling down to the commercial banks that the average Joe public deals with on a daily basis. So, yeah, you should be concerned that your bank don't have $5,000. You should be concerned about the fact that in certain banks in some parts of the country, you would have to write a letter or give 24-hour notification. I've had customers, I've had clients years ago say, hey, you know what, I went to go to so-and-so bank, and I'm trying to get my money out so I can move it into this type of investment vehicle or that type of investment vehicle. They told me to come back by the end of the week and they'll have it for me. Think about that, folks. Think about that. This was the eighth largest bank in the country at that time. The eighth biggest bank in the country, and they didn't have money, told the guy to come back next week.
Wow.
What does that tell you?
Man. Well, one other question I have for you, too. I've been doing as much research on this as possible since the last program, and I've been every road that I've been following, every path I've been of research I've been following with respect to the economic crisis is leading me to the city of London, and I'm talking about the city of London. You know, the city within the city.
Yep.
Are they the ones that are going to come out of this and superintend whatever new system that does arise from the ashes of the global economy?
Yes. One of the things people have to realize is this, okay? Everybody is deceived into thinking that Wall Street is the power hub of this whole entire thing. It's really not. It's the city of London. And the city of London, or the city as we call it, is a small 10-block strip within the city of London itself. And the city is where all the major power brokers and financial houses are, okay? There's a lot of rumors and a lot of conjecture that goes with the city, all right? But basically, that is the power hub, all right? The British banking model, all right, folks, fractional reserve lending was created by the Brits, all right? Back in the late 1600s, England had a civil war, and it was during the Civil War that Charles I did the first gold confiscation of his public. I mean, they had the treasury there. The public would put the money into the treasury. Charles I went ahead and decided to take all the gold and then give them promissory notes. He eventually paid back all the gold to all the people that put that, you know, that placed the gold in the treasury, but that action itself scared the population, in fact, so much that they started giving their gold deposits to the goldsmiths, and the goldsmiths would give them certificates. And then soon enough, the goldsmiths would write multiple certificates on actual assets and holdings that they themselves don't have, and thus was born fractional reserve banking. So London has always been the home of all these things, okay? It's been the biggest thing. I mean, J.P. Morgan's biggest jab that happened this past year was with a trader in London in the IDEX derivative market that they were playing in, where they took that $100 billion hit, you know? So, you know, London is where it's at. So a lot of the trajectory, the structure, and the planning of what's going to come forth in the new system is coming out of the city of London, okay? Wall Street is just placed second fiddle to it. That's why when, you know, I always tell people, you know, if you want to read a good financial newspaper, get a subscription to the Financial Times. It's very expensive, but the Financial Times, FT.com, is basically a lot of the power brokers, you know, they telegraph what they're going to do in that newspaper. The Wall Street Journal is like a dumbed-down, watered-down version of that. That just shows you the difference. That just shows you the difference in parity between the city of London and Wall Street. But, yeah, the city of London, that's the powerhouse. That's the real power base for all of the world's money.
Doug, I'd like to interject something. When you look at the city of London, each year they honor Gog and Magog, two actual giants from England's history. And what is interesting to me is the fact that when you talk about Gog and Magog, especially in Ezekiel 38, the financial component is so obvious. I believe that God has absolutely been magnificent, incredibly explosive in his revelation of mankind. It's in plain sight. And I want people to go and Google so they get it. So Gog and Magog are both giants, literal giants from British history. And it's fascinating that when the city of London, it was founded by giants. Now, why is this important? Because Jesus said, the love of money is the root of all evil. People have said, quails whacked out on all this giant stuff. Wait until they see them. This is what has propelled me for 40 years to warn the people of God. When I wrote Angel Wars, it's, you know, everybody on this planet is basically caught up in real wars and ethnic wars. But the coming Angel Wars are going to be so traumatic, so mind-melting, so absolutely not only in your face, but surrounding you. This is what Tom Horn is basically, and Chris Putnam are pleading with people to understand that the biggest church in the world, the Vatican, is preparing their followers for the alien intervention. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand angel wars, and I'm talking about the war between God's holy angels and the fallen angels and the wicked angels, if you don't understand that, you're locked in a paradigm of absolutely the Matrix. So for those of you that can get online, I would recommend you get my book. And by the way, Doug, I this is the thing I'm always up against. I run out of angel wars faster than any book I've ever written. The pre-buying of people wanting to, I'm not taking orders yet, on True Legends. The True Legends book is going to blow everyone's mind. And I told Tom Horn this. I said, Tom, isn't it amazing that when you and I come out with books, those books are the key to the headlines that soon follow? So when Daniel said, seal it up, or the angel told Daniel, seal it up, Daniel, for the appointed time, so for knowledge shall run to and fro. The bottom line is, this is the time of the unsealing. This is the book of the revelation. This is the time of hidden revelations being made known. And all I can say is, look, I am blessed to have been given whatever knowledge. And I take the scripture, look, I know what I am. I'm a publican. I'm a sinner. I know everything I'm not. My shortcomings, as I see them, are greater than all my critics' idea of my shortcomings. But the difference is, for some reason, God chose me to bring to a doubting, unbelieving world the relevance of the end time army that's in Joel. And Joel is not a human army that's coming against the people of God. The thing is that we're going to be dealing with things. And by the way, Hawk just sent me a greeting from the MMV. Greetings, everyone, 777. Thank you for tuning into the program. Thank you for all the times you've intervened and saved my life and Hawk's life and the lives of others around there. So we're already being listened to. And if you understood who is listening to us and understood who it is they are, it would really be tough for most of you to embrace that. I'm not grandstanding. I'm not being melodramatic. I'm just saying, once again, thank you, those of you without equal, Cine Pare. The thing is that we are up against an unbelievable set of circumstances coming our way. I wish I knew what the MMV knew. I wish I could give the people of God more knowledge on how to fight in the spirit, and how to fight in the natural. I can only give what I've been given. And again, a man has nothing except he receive it from above. And so what we're talking about is a period where it's almost like the denial is so great, Doug. We're talking about world-class pathogenic warfare. We're talking about world-class cataclysms. We're talking about volcanoes. We're talking about earthquakes. We're talking about storms. We're talking about drought. We're talking about famine. We're talking about aliens, not illegal aliens, but aliens. demonic manifestations, and I used to term them TMDEs, and that's transmorphic demonic entities. So the thing is that all of this is coming into our realm where God in his infinite mercy, love, and compassion for us put gates out there that they couldn't come beyond. He put them in a specific realm that they couldn't mess with us or else we would have been consumed. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, it's critical that you get the knowledge, because knowledge is power. And if you understand what's coming against you, and God is gracious, he gives you little bits and pieces so you can cope with it. But I can only tell you this, that without, and no one else that I know, Doug, and I'm not blowing my own horn, but nobody else wrote this stuff as long ago as I did. Now, there's a lot of people writing about it, and God bless them. But the ones that are writing about it are telling me I'm wrong, and I say, where were you, and what's the source of your revelation? So the point is that the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus, that is our hope, church, followers of Jesus. It's not our hope in a dogma. It's not our hope in a ritual. It's not our hope in the celebration of feasts. If you're Jewish, you want to celebrate your feasts, do it. But the bottom line is, it's in the celebration of the Son of God, the resurrection. It's why I say Resurrection Sunday and the birth of Jesus are the same day to me, because anytime somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, turns back to him, gives their heart to the Lord, that is the day of their new birth, and it's the day of resurrection. They come out of everlasting death into everlasting light and everlasting life. So please, ladies and gentlemen, if you are concerned with the nature of the battle that's coming against you and you do not have angel wars, I run out of that book so quickly. And obviously I know my timetable is way different than V's. I pray he's right. I've lived in the future so long that where most people are now, I'm like in a realm that I wish I knew more about the realm I see and have been shown. And I wish I could basically articulate to everyone what's coming. But I can't, because I'm not freed in the Lord to do that yet. And when I'm freed in the Lord, I will do that. But if you can follow what he's leading me to do, it's no coincidence that Tom Horn is dealing in the desert southwest at Mount Graham and the Lucifer telescope of the Vatican and all that stuff. And I'm dealing in the same area with the Navajo and the Goodnight, all of the different legends of the Apache, and they're all dealing with stargates. They're all dealing with the a Bigfoot, Species 7. They're all dealing, the Native Americans, they've got an understanding of the stuff that makes most white men's hearts faint or absolutely freak out. Yet they don't understand the source of those things that they have yielded to. And it's my goal to teach everyone, to the degree that God gives me the knowledge, including the Native Americans, what they're up against. Because what we're coming up against in the invisible realm, now being made visible, only God himself can teach us how to war against that. But it begins with knowledge. So I can only recommend, if you do read two books right now, read Genetic Armageddon, available on my website, stevequayle.com, and Angel Wars, because they're written to inform and to give you not only the information, but the know-how, how to deal with the stuff. And that's why I do what I do.
Wow. And I have to back you, Steve, on Angel Wars. I can understand why you run out of that book. What a well-written book. And it kind of got me to where I'm at now, to understand even some of the things that V is saying, and it's overlapping information. I don't think I can articulate it very well, but I can just say this. What you wrote in Angel Wars and what V is saying with respect to the economy and the globalist things, I mean, they overlap. And one, it's a very symbiotic relationship between the spiritual realm, what we're seeing there, and of course the globalist agenda. And I have to say that. But V, I've got a question here for you. Do you have any books? If people want to learn just some of the basics, self-teach themselves some of the basics, any recommendations, either books or websites that perhaps we have not discussed at all that people can educate themselves, self-educate themselves on what we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if anybody listening to my voice right now, I would suggest you grab yourself a pen and a piece of paper, and I'm going to give you maybe like one or two books here, and, you know, we can start from there, right? The first book that I would recommend to you is History of Money and Banking in the United States. Okay, that is A History of Money and Banking in the United States, and that is by Murray Newton Rothbard. That's M-U-R-R-A-Y, Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N, and the last name Rothbard, R-O-T-H-B-A-R-D. That's a phenomenal book to get you going on understanding on how the monetary system and the history and the origins of our monetary system and where that thought process comes from. Now, you know, you do some research into a book like that, and you begin to understand and piece together that the freedom that this country, that we really fought for, okay, the freedom that this that the founding fathers of this great nation fought for was basically freedom from international bankers, okay? That's what America has been struggling against since her inception, is to be free from these international multinational bankers. And, you know, they've reared their head in the late 1700s. They've reared their head again in the 1800s. They tried to recapture America in the 1800s. They caused division in the 1800s. They finally caught us in the 1900s, in the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. But, you know, to say it really is, it's always been a fight against man versus the central banker and the central banking concept, okay? The second book I would probably put for you is, I would have to say, let me see here. There is a book. It's actually called the, it's called Socialism, actually. And so that's also very good. Because you got to understand, okay, when you read the Rothbard book, you have an understanding of free markets. You have an understanding of what banking is all about. But you need to understand the counterbalance to the system, and that's the Keynesian model. And the Keynesian model is laid out very well in this book called Socialism by Ludwig von Mises. Okay, that's L-U-D-W-I-G, von, V-O-N, Mises, M-I-S-E-S. Those are two books that I definitely would recommend to get a proper and balanced view of the socioeconomic fabric and framework that we're living in. Because you got to have the economic, but you also got to have the social concept that ties into that. Okay. Then there's other books like The Case for Gold, and there's various others. But definitely A History of Money and Banking in the United States is where I'd begin with. That would be my textbook. If I was teaching a course, that would be the textbook I would use.
Well, thank you very much for that, because there are people, believe it or not, there are people that still like to read. I'm one of them, and you know, it's we can never get enough information, the proper information, and
absolutely.
Thank you for recommending that. Steve, what... We've got 18 minutes left of the show, I believe. What are your final thoughts here? We've got over some pretty sobering information here tonight.
You know, first of all and foremost, the basic premise of survival is not just to live as you're living now, but to experience the goodness and the grace of the living God. And Jesus said he's not going to leave us. He's going to be with us until the end of the age, okay? And I think that is so comforting. Look, I mean, to say I don't get down is a lie. I get really down. And if it weren't for the intercessors, Doug, and I want to share this, I love all of you that have interceded, because any effectiveness I have around the world, or V has, it's through intercession. And your intercessions mean everything. And Doug and Joe need your intercession. And I've said to Romy on so many occasions, I said, Romy, if it weren't for you, I couldn't do what God called me to do, because there's too much that was against me. And yet when people stand as intercessors for other people, you know, the reason I bring her up is because she's before the Lord. And those of you who send me emails that are really struggling, it's amazing, Doug, when I forward those to her and she prays, something happens. Look, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I don't even know how to pray. Or my friend John, Kyle, a pastor in Billings, who's got the most amazing anointing, the most amazing word of knowledge, and this man hears from God, and yet he's got a very small congregation, and everybody in Billings, Billings is one of the biggest towns of Montana, about 130 miles east of me in Bozeman, and yet it's amazing. God does hide his treasure, and John, Kyle, and his wife are two amazing people. These are people I know, okay? And look, I don't know a lot of pastors, and the ones I know, bless the Lord, God has brought into my life. And so what I'm saying is this. The most important thing anybody can do is, first and foremost, get right with the living God. Second of all, to seek God, okay? Let the weak say they are strong. There is no strength in us to deal with what's coming. David Langford gave the situation. David's a man of prayer, of fasting, and trust me, he's no meow man, okay? He's a man's man. I just said, David, it's a good thing you and I didn't know each other. We were both walking on the wild side, because it would have been hell on steroids, you know? But the thing is that when the Lord said you're weak and drew the parallel to John the Baptist, that can be encouraging to all of us, okay? Because at some point, John the Baptist was prepared for his death, and God granted John the Baptist amazing grace. So the song Amazing Grace is critical to understanding the goodness of God. And ladies and gentlemen, God is not going to abandon us. You will yet see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I know a lot of you want to take your lives, and I do rebuke the spirit of suicide. I know what it's like to despair unto death. Doug, I can't tell you how many people have been stopped from taking their own lives. I can't even count the number of people that have given their hearts back to Jesus. My wife told me today she got a call from one who just happened to tune into one of the shows in the last week. And she said the power of God hit her, and she gave her heart back to Jesus. That means she was dead in her trespasses and sin, bad, backslidden. I sometimes should write a book called The Backslider's Guide of What Not to Do. But it would be too damaging to young Christians, because I would tell the truth, and it doesn't need to be told in the context that I'd be blunt, and I have to learn to be more peaceful and grant more grace and not be so harsh sometimes. But you see, when you contend for people's souls, and that's what we do every time we come on your show, when we're contending for their financial life, for their spiritual life, for literally the lives of their families, for the lives of their daughters, their mothers, their sons, their cousins, their grandparents, we're contending. The Spirit of God puts a wonderful anointing. That anointing covers the world. You know that, Doug. You and Joe see where people are listening from. But also when V comes on and gives it to you in bottom line, and the world he lives in, most of us don't even touch. And he tells you what he's telling you. When you find out the amount of an array and sophistication of weapons that the Russians have, listen, Zhirinovsky, I used to love that guy. People say, he's a crazy man. No, Mad Vlad was telling it like it is. One thing I've learned from the Russians, you said it earlier, they respect power, they respect strength. And look, you're talking about the former Scythians, S-C-Y-T-H-I-A-N-S. Even the New Testament says those were the most brutal of all, the most, if you want to use the word, the most deadly of all. They were just absolutely known for their ruthlessness. So when you deal with something like that, the only thing power respects is equal power or greater power. What you're watching, ladies and gentlemen, is the intentional destruction of the U.S. military. You're watching the assassination of Navy SEALs. You're watching the assassination of special operations operators. You're watching wars. And the only way I can know this is someone told me, who basically just sent Hawk a message. Not sent Hawk a message, but a message containing their presence. The point is that as we go into these times that we're approaching, look, take what V says, take what I say, take what Doug writes. And I believe that Doug, I'm not flattering you, I believe you're one of the best writers I've ever read. I think sometimes you may give too much detail, you know, and I mean, you know, that's up to you and your sources, but, you know, I'm just telling you, you know, I know why you do it. You do it because you're tired of the same hyenas and jackals that I'm tired of, and those are just people trying to draw us out to compromise. See, I learned a valuable lesson, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world of listening to people that know what's going on. I don't need their names. I don't want their names. I don't want to know, you know, who's buddy-buddy and blah, blah, blah. All I want to know is the information. Then I ask the Lord, give it to me two or three times from different sources. Have I been snookered? Absolutely. But it wasn't intentional. And some of you sit as judges and jurors, and you've never won one person to the Lord Jesus. You've never fed one hungry person. You've never done anything for anyone on this planet. And then you say, not of works, lest any man should boast. James deals with that. He says, show me your works, and I'll believe you have faith. But don't tell me you have faith with no works, because faith without works is dead. And that's what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. Most of you that are staying in dead churches, if you're still in a dead church, come out from amongst them and be separate, saith the Lord, lest you be a partaker not only of their sins, but the judgment that is soon to fall on all of the false and all of the self-gratifying, glorifying pulpits across America. V and I had a chance to basically experience two individuals firsthand, and I can tell you this. The Lord is not in that place, and I won't give the names on this radio show, but the point being, these guys are all about themselves, and even though I might be able to get on, and forgive me, I was asked to go on a TV program, so was V, and our unanimous answer, separate and apart from each other, seeking God on them is absolutely not. Why would I go someplace other than where God has placed me? And that's what I can share, everyone. The need does not constitute the call. Stay where God has put you.
Interesting. That's the first time I heard that, Stephen, and that's pretty interesting. V, of course, the guerrilla economist, we've got just a few minutes left. What are your parting words?
Well, my parting words is this. I mean, you know, the time is critical. You know, there's no stock pick of the decade I can give you. There's no, monetary vehicle that you need to move X amount of dollars into that's going to get you rich off this thing. We've passed the point of no return. You know, if I were to recap pretty much everything I just said is this, okay, is what could occur to bring this market down? It could happen anytime. The next 10 months are very critical. The economy is on a very unrealistic trajectory, and it will only end in the ruin of millions of people's lives. The administration is facing scandals on all sides. There's turmoil in the Middle East. Israel is instigating a bad situation, making it even worse by bombing Damascus. Russia is drawing its battle lines in the sand. China is posturing in the South Pacific and standing tandem with Russia in terms with Syria. There's a drying up of physical precious metals. All this points to one thing, and that all these models that we're currently facing right now end in war. The numbers, the markets are all screaming that there will be a massive global event that's going to plunge this global economy into such a disarray that we've never seen it before. And all of this
will transpire before 2015, and I personally guarantee that. So I'm asking everybody that's out there, you know, if you need help, okay, if you need some proper guidance, it doesn't matter if you're in the United States, Canada, Europe, Asia, the Middle East, Africa, no matter where in the world you are, I can help you. You know, get on Steve's website, click the link, let's talk. If you need proper guidance to survive what's going to come, okay, there are people out there that will tell you to get the food, get all these things. These are important, but I'll also tell you how to hedge yourself properly so you can be able to get the food, so you can get those things that you need, the supplies you need, you know, while the collapse occurs and during the times where you'll have to learn and better position yourself to barter and better position yourself to purchase and to trade. These things are important. You know, so that's one of the things, that's the clarion call tonight, is we have crossed the Rubicon. We have passed the point of no return. If you're still looking around waiting for this market to turn around, if you're waiting for this economy to get on the rebound, it's not going to happen. Folks, 47% of this country is persona non-existent day. Okay, they don't exist. 47% of this country, the people are gone. They're either fallen out of the workforce, they're on food stamps, or on some sort of government assistance. All right? We are being wiped out economically as a nation. So during these times, you need to focus on what you can do to hedge yourself to the times that are coming. Because what's coming is going to be so drastically different. And you need to prepare. Prepare, prepare, prepare. The time for fun and games is over. The time for, you know, planning for that big retirement with the boat and this, that, and the other, that's over. Settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart. Your sandcastle in the sky, well, let me tell you, the tsunami is just about coming in. Settle it in your heart. Humble yourself. Put your dreams and your aspirations on the cross, on the foothill of the cross, and prepare yourself for what is to come. Hedge yourself to what is to come. And have the faith and the insight to see what you need to do to get through it all. That's what I would have to say.
Amen.
Amen indeed. You know, gentlemen, every time you come on, it just seems like we learn more and more. And we're the new people. There are so many new people that are tuning in and listening. And I just want to thank you on their behalf for your patience, because I know that it seems like a lot of this information is repetitive, but even for the veteran listeners, we need to hear this. I think we need these reminders that we're getting. And
the things won't always be the way they are.
That's right.
That's right. There is a possibility that you can make things easier on your family and those around you.
Well, it's a necessity, actually. We have to do that if we're men, you know, if we're the men that we are to be. And certainly the men that God expects us to be, and certainly two godly men, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, and V, the Guerrilla Economist, of course, who can be reached via stevequayle.com. Gentlemen, I want to thank you. Joe and I want to thank you for your gift of time tonight. And we know it's a generous gift of your time. We know your time is valuable. I want to thank you for sharing what you share. And certainly, please come back anytime. Come back again. And we'll just take it one day at a time at this point, and let's take it to God. Take the information to God.
Yeah, and to all those out there listening, just keep your heads up, stay in prayer, and don't lose hope and let any negative information impact your faith.
Faith indeed. Steve, V, God bless you both.
Thank you, Doug.
Good night,
thank
gentlemen.
You, Joe. Bless you, V.
God bless you guys.
God bless you guys.
Good night, everyone.
We'll be back tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our regular time. We look forward to seeing you all there. Have a great night, everyone.
Let me just clarify this. The contact information for V is through Steve Quayle's website. And, of course, that is for people with complicated, complex portfolios with a lot of with a one on who requests a one on one sit down type of meeting. Just to clarify that, okay? Because I've been getting emails saying, well, you know, what's the deal? The deal is if you have complicated portfolios, if you've got, you know, a sizable, substantial portfolio that you've got to handle, he is available to guide you through this minefield of that. Just understand that's what that is about. But he certainly, both of them have been certainly generous with their time and information tonight. But like you said, Joe, tomorrow night, regular time, 8 o'clock. And looking
God
forward
to it.
God
bless each and every one of you. Stay safe, and we will see you tomorrow, God willing.
That's right.